It's ADHD. We back, so you know, I'm in the motherfucking stadium because I don't deal with buildings. You know what I mean? I don't deal with buildings. I'm in the motherfucking stadium trap. You know what I'm saying? AKA Trap Father, AKA the Raspy Barry White. You know what the fuck it is? You know, I'm sitting up in here. You know what I'm saying, chilling with my good peoples right now. You know, I got my main man. S class, you know, in the building right now. What's happening,
it is,
fella?
It is.
What's happening, fella? Jolly love. What's going on?
What's good, the professional Vanessa?
Oh shit, that's crazy. Yeah, and my man Bouvier right there. You know what I mean? Sitting there, cooling.
What's good? What's good?
And my man CPR, aka Life Skills. You know what I mean? Get under digs.
Peace.
Peace. What's going on, y'all, man? How was y'all week, though, so far, man? It's happy hump day right now. What's going on?
It's been good so far.
Mm-hmm. It's good money out here, man. Breathing.
Good money.
Money to be made. Good money.
Yeah, life's good, bro. I shouldn't complain.
At all.
The zombie apocalypse ain't start yet, so you know it's a good
thing. Zombies, no man.
We got a little bit more time. I know y'all seen the new Dave Chappelle talking about the aliens coming back and all that shit gonna correspond. We got a little time left though.
It's only 5 years left.
You really believe in them conspiracy theories, huh?
So wrap y'all head around this. Anybody ever seen the movie 2012?
Nah, yeah. I seen the advertisement. I've never seen the movie though. So tell
me basically, it's a movie about the end of time or whatever, and like it's supposed to be these floods, tsunamis, volcanoes erupting, and everything. But basically, one of me and my homies was talking about like, you know, this could be a good construct that they did, but what if they pushed that off 10 years, you know, just to confuse everybody? Like the Mayan calendar was supposed to be 2012, supposed to be the end of the world. What if they changed that 10 years to give a heads up to certain people with certain status and certain money? And you know, it's really 2022.
So are you trying to say right now that the pandemic or this the panoramic, you know what I'm saying? The Polaroid was the start of it, you saying?
Yeah, what if it, you know, you see, we've seen like a lot of major CEOs step down over the last year of like big companies and things like that. Like a lot of things like that look like it could have been plandemic, maybe.
It had us thinking we were in a pandemic, but it was the plandemic.
I got you.
See what life skills provide?
So let me ask you this.
But I am a conspiracy theorist, though. Trav.
That's a fact. I know what you are. I know. So now within that right there. So now I'm gonna ask you this right here now. I just went blank just now, man. Took a sip of Hennessy and just fucking forgot what I'm about to say right there. But come on, man. Nah, that was crazy. Right there. I like this joint up right now because that one. He fucking me up right now with shit he talking about. Keep talking, CPR, man.
When you took a sip of Hennessy, did you think of the Nas commercial?
I think I did. I heard his whole voice and shit. You know what I'm saying? That shit was crazy, dude. So let me light this joint up real quick, man. Yeah, so, damn,
What you smoking, man?
I don't smoke nothing else but Iverson 96, baby. That's what I smoke right through, man. Smoke good, man. Good Viola bud. You know.
I had you crossed up with something else, huh?
Nope. That's all we smoke over here. I'm gonna get up with Dolly tomorrow at the Western. I don't know if she's gonna indulge with the Iverson 96 though, but we got that Rolling Loud thing going on. I'm maybe gonna be smoking loud and rolling loud. You heard?
Nah, Dolly going too.
I am. I will be.
Who headlining?
I think 50 Small, right, Chuck?
50 tomorrow. Yeah, 50 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. My man JID gonna be performing tomorrow. And
I think Rick Ross is tomorrow too, if I remember.
Rick Ross. No, that's not a good look. That's not a good look.
They ain't worried about that nigga no more, man. You crazy?
It's in Queens?
Yes, it is.
I could literally walk to that shit from my crib. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do it, though, but I could do it if I had to like that. You know what I mean?
So out of all the people that's on the roster, like, who y'all excited to see?
I don't know.
Let me pull this show. It's like a million trillion people.
It's a lot of people there. It's crazy.
But they actually have not.
Okay, you got it.
Also, they haven't released the time, like the performance times. Typically, they would have put it up already, but I'm thinking they're doing like some reshuffling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so with all the acts and everything, I know watching Rolling Loud down there in Miami, they have different stages. Do y'all plan on like going to different stages or just sitting at one main stage? What's y'all?
All right, so first off, I don't know what you do, Dolly, but I don't do the big old, I don't do the pit shit. I don't do that in the middle or in the front of the stage. I do the right stand on the side a little bit, watch the stage. Then I see the other one going on at the other stage, and I go to the other one because that pit shit be crazy. Because the only time people stay at one stage is like when you're in the middle. If you're in that, little, like that middle part, you ain't going to really be able to get the fuck up out of there. So I like moving around. I like getting the time schedule. Yo, so-and-so going to be performing at this one. After this, I'm going over there. You know what I'm saying? Like that. I move around, really. I don't stay at one stage.
Yeah, me too. I don't do the pit. I don't do the mosh pit at all. People be coming out looking fucked up, missing shoes and stuff like that. I don't do that at all.
Nah, but I wasn't saying, like, I was hoping y'all wasn't in the mosh pit. But normally, Rolling Loud has, like, three different, you have the main stage, and then you know, like the lesser known artists, but they could be hot artists. Like, do y'all plan on visiting more than one stage?
Yeah, what definitely. I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm gonna check the time schedule out, and it's gonna say what stage they're gonna be at. So, you know what I'm saying, I'm gonna look and see who I wanna see. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got the list up there, Dally?
They haven't released the set time. So I just went to the website, and it says set time's coming soon. So that's what makes me think they're moving some things around. But to answer your question, Bouvier, I would go to all three stages. I went to Rolling Loud 2019 in New York City, and I, you know, went and checked out the different stages and the different caliber of artists. But they're probably moving things around because I don't know if y'all remember for 2019, like they had a couple of artists that dropped out. So they had to reshuffle the set time. So they're probably waiting until the last minute.
You know what I'm so mad about, though? Yeah, listen, the weather been good. Last weather was crazy last week. I was wearing shorts during the week. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this shit been raining in New York since Sunday. It just stopped raining like 3 o'clock today. Like, for real. That's what I feel like. You know what I'm saying? So, it's going to be 59 degrees tomorrow. I mean, that ain't too bad, though. I'm going to wear like a little hoodie or some shit like that. But the shit, like, I wanted that good weather we had last week, though. That weather we had last week was good, bread. So, I see it was good. So I see the card right now for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a good day, yo, for real. You got 50 headline in it. You got Lil Uzi Vert. You got Gunna, Lil Durk, Gucci Mane. So this shit is crazy.
Yeah, the lineup is crazy.
It's crazy. Jack Harlow, Polo G, Moneybagg Yo, Joey Badass. Is Pooh Shiesty still locked up?
Yep.
They got Pooh Shiesty on the card. All right, Pooh Shiesty on it. They got Young M.A., J.I.D., Fabio Farman, Fetty Wap, CJ. This shit is crazy.
Young Blue on there too.
Yeah, Young Blue. I want to see Young Blue.
Yeah, man. Free Pooh Shiesty, but I don't think they're going to give him no bond, though, bro.
I don't think so.
Now, to say that right there, now, right? So now, I wonder if, like within, like, is any of these artists that's, like, on now are so going to, learn from they other counterparts' mistakes, and I'm saying with them getting their deals, getting on, becoming big, and then getting locked up and shit. Like, that shit wasn't going on back. Only person, I remember one person getting locked up back in the days, that's class. You know what I'm saying? And that was fucking Slick Rick. That's it, B. And Tupac. My bad. Tupac, too. Niggas wasn't getting locked up like that, B. Like,
nah, it was other people that got locked up, Trap.
Who?
MC got locked up.
Oh yeah, Pimp C did get locked up. You're right.
During the height of his shit too.
Like. Right. Pimp C got locked up. But not the way these little motherfuckers get locked up though, B. This shit is crazy.
C Murder.
Yeah, facts. C Murder got locked up at the height of this shit too, for real.
All right. Nigga name was C Murder, B. Like, come on, B. Really?
I'm trying to think. It seems like it was more though.
Free BG.
Definitely Free BG.
Yeah, that's a fact. But that would have been like BG getting locked up when fucking Bling Bling came out.
Yeah, it wasn't the height of his shit when he got locked up though.
Like, shit is crazy. Like,
let me ask y'all this: Would y'all check for, you know? Because I feel like BG coming home. Would y'all check for a new Hot Boys album?
I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. I'm gonna keep it a buck. I wouldn't. I wouldn't really. Because I wouldn't. I mean, I'll check for it. I'll listen to it. You know what I'm saying? Not expecting like a fucking great album or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. Maybe.
Did you listen to any of their albums?
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay. Hell yeah, I did. Hell yeah, I did. Fucking, what I'm saying? I was living down south when that shit all started, when it came out. So, hell yeah, I did. Yo, S-Class. So, like who back in the days got locked up like during like the peak of their career, man? Because I said like Slick Rick and Tupac, and they just reminded me of some other ones too, as far as like Pimp C, what did you say? You said
C. What about Murda, the dude that was with Nori?
Capone got locked up. That Capone reminded me of Bobby Smurda getting locked up, bitch.
Know oh yeah, T.I. got locked up right in the middle, Jack in the middle of this shit. Real,
yeah,
like,
yeah, that's a fact.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, that shit was wild, man. That shit was wild.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember when the chat with T.I., then T.I. get like some shit happened with like recording the video, you know what I'm saying, in jail or some shit like that. He did some type of shit, but he was locked up or some shit. If I remember, something happened within that. Yeah, T.I. definitely did get locked up.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. Look it up. Yeah, some shit that happened or something with them. Like, I don't know if they went to the jail and shot the video. He was home, or if he was locked up when they shot the video. S-Class, you remember that shit? But I'm saying these young niggas is getting locked up crazy though, B. Like this shit. I remember one time out here in New York. Like three rappers got locked up in one weekend, B. The shit was wild. Word. I think the fucking hip hop police is back or some shit, man. Right? Shit is crazy.
Probably. Right.
That where they go?
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Right?
That's a fact.
Even during Rolling Loud 2019, like the police like wrote to Rolling Loud and said, "Do not let these certain performers perform. Yeah. Like, do not allow it." I think it was Chef G,
wasn't it? What's the name? What's your boy name who locked up right now? Was it Casanova?
Casanova, yep. And it was one other person. I can't think of who the third person is. But yeah, they definitely out.
Yep. I seen, speaking of New York rappers and locked up, I seen one of them rappers from up there just came out, said he was the richest independent rapper from New York of all time.
Who?
No, who said
not
that?
Not that nigga. Who said that? Yeah. That nigga said that? Yeah. Troy Ave?
Yeah, that guy.
What the fuck? I guess he be something out of town or something. Niggas out of town be fucking with him, I guess.
I ain't checking for him. It came across media that I, you know what I mean? Like, I think I seen that shit on some.
He was an official independent rapper, though. He was like an official independent rapper. So for him to say that, though, like, I don't know. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people say they independent, don't be independent, though. So when he say that, then I guess that's his whole thing on it. Yeah, that's the man.
How much worth is being independent, but you only like independently listening?
You say independently
catch my drift.
Say it again.
All right,
independent. What?
If what I'm saying, like, who really listening? Like, was he that?
He had a little buzz. He had a little buzz at one point, but you know. I wouldn't say he was like on, you know.
I hate y'all bias.
Nah, he wasn't. He wasn't popping like that. Like he was. He had that. I
remember
all about the motherfucking money. He had that shit.
All those decent renditions.
Yeah.
Won't 50 won't messing with him? Won't some of them G Unit people was messing with him or something?
Nah, Fifth was messing with him. But once that nigga sound like he bit the cheese, you know what I'm saying? 50 got away from that thing right there, B. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That conversation we be having, like, you could own your masters, but if they ain't worth shit, like, what is it really?
But that's the thing, Bouvier. Like, you can't say what is worth. You can't put the value of right now on art because 100 years from now, it could be the hottest shit out. Like, you know what I'm saying? You might be dead and gone, but your kids could reap off of that. Like,
true enough. I understand the importance of ownership. I'm not saying that. But sometimes it's good to give that. We could probably talk about that a little later. But I don't think we really touched in about, you know, these artists getting locked up currently.
So check it. So, you know, NBA Youngboy just got released from jail. You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to see. Let me check this card right now. Let me see if he's on this Rolling Loud. Is he on Rolling Loud?
Nah, I think he's on house arrest, actually, in a whole state like Utah or something. Yeah,
he's on house arrest.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah,
he's on house arrest.
So he's not.
But even on house arrest, can't you be allowed to travel for work, though?
If they give you, if the judge approved that, but they put him in, all the way in Utah, I don't think that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't going to be able to do nothing, bro. Utah, like, what is out there?
Ain't one that nigga to be like, you might as well put me.
Mm-hmm. Nigga rather be.
I ain't never heard that. One time nobody be like, yeah, I'm going to Utah. Like, not one time.
Nigga, only ones in Utah, motherfucking.
My people's lived out there for like 6-7 years.
They liked it out there. It was straight.
That joint out there, yeah.
From what I heard, it's nothing but Mormons and Africans.
That's what I'm saying. Only ones out, Mormons, Africans, John Stockton, Karl Malone.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying
everything is out there.
That's it.
Let's see that.
Living expenses might be cheap. Yeah, that's a fact. Well, Dirk gonna be at the joint. Kodak gonna be pulling up.
The judge approved him to perform. So.
One time for that boy Yak, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, he failed his drug test and he still let him go. I'm like, yo, that judge is a real one.
It was an old drug test.
Didn't Kodak get like pardoned by the president or something?
Definitely did.
Pretty sure the judge is a smart guy and understand how politics works and not gonna, you know, embarrass the former president.
Man, I wish that motherfucker.
I wish you had the clip, but he spoke on it briefly. He was saying, you know, somebody kind of spoke on the business and try to put it out as if it was something recent, but from what he said, and this is just a horse's mouth, that it was an old drug test that he voluntarily went in to his PO, and he was pretty much trying to let him know that he needed help with his, you know, somewhat of addiction, I guess.
Yeah, he had a good night. That's what it was. He had a good night after popping all that damn Molly. Next day, woke up feeling all depressed and shit. Feeling all depressed. And the nigga was like, nigga, went and told on himself. Fucking bozo.
Hey. Right,
that's what he did. Went and told on himself. He shouldn't have did that. Why you going to tell him himself for, B? Nah, I ain't known that the Yak, but he did it to himself, though, B. Yak was just up on Clubhouse the other night. Yo, I didn't even tell y'all. You wasn't in the room, boo. Yo, we chilling. I'm up in Derek's room, right? And we chilling. I look down. And the nigga got, I forgot what his name was, right? I think his name might have said Kodak, right?
Yeah, it's Kodak.
Man. Yeah, and he had his picture on there. I'm like, that ain't Kodak right then. All of a sudden, nigga started talking, B.
Definitely Kodak, bro.
He started talking. It was in Derek's room, B. Oh, the nigga started talking. The nigga goes, yeah, man. Yeah. I want me a Grammy, man.
Like, it's something you can like, pick up at the store like that.
He like, I want me a Grammy, man, like Derek, man. I'm like, that's Kodak for real? Or he was up on it. And then the next thing I know, I seen this shit about the what's name, about the drug test shit. I said, this nigga Yak is crazy.
I've been rooting for Yak, man, since his first mixtape, man. Like,
as you should.
You know, I'm really proud of him. Through a lot. He's currently going through a lot. So, you know, that youngin' in my prayers, you know, he's definitely like the face of Florida. And
that's a fact.
You know.
That's a fact. You know like what I see this shit as though, Bouvier? My bad, bro. You know what I see it as though? I see Kodak as being for Florida, like what Chief Keef was for Chicago, B.
I could see that.
Man, I don't know if he had the same impact.
Nah, but, he did, B.
What?
Not as Sosa.
No, he did. Yo, bro, look at the kids that's coming from fucking Florida right now.
Let me give you something real quick. If he didn't have that type of effect, when did Chief Keef Sosa pretty much whatever if I said his name right, and this is no disrespect to him, but did he influence another artist and pretty much catapult another artist?
Yeah, Lil Durk.
Nah. And I mean, like, would you compare Durk to Cardi B?
Durk is one of the hottest artists on the planet right now.
Cardi B?
I mean, Cardi B don't drop. She don't drop, though. Durk be dropping multiple times a year.
That's what I'm saying. She don't really have to drop no more how she took off. I mean, she really don't have to make music no more, bro.
I mean, every time she drop a single, it go number one. I mean, I can't deny her influence on the game, but only thing I'm saying is, like, Durk is more consistent than her, and he's one of the hottest artists out. Like, I mean, he up there with Lil Baby. It's Lil Baby and Lil Durk, bro. I mean, they right under the Baby Goat right now. I would say.
Are you really sitting here comparing Lil Durk and Lil Baby to Cardi B?
Well, I didn't, I don't know where that comparison came from. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying that they are.
You did that.
I didn't do that.
You did that. You did.
I got asked the question. I answered the question, and I gave my justification for my answer. Okay. I didn't.
All right. Because she's a superstar. She's a superstar.
Yeah, that's what I really mean. And not to say
Durk not a superstar.
No, Durk not a superstar.
What?
No, Durk not a
y'all superstar. Can't be no. serious, bro. Don't say that Durk's for the sake superstar. Of.
He's not a super. But you know what a superstar is, B?
Yes.
Dirk can walk in buildings. People don't know who the fuck Dirk is, be certain establishments, be. She did commercials for Super Bowl commercials, be. Dirk can do Super Bowl commercials, be. That's superstar status right there.
Like, I ain't saying that he is bigger than Cardi B. I'm saying as one of the hottest people in hip hop, he is. He top five, bro. Like, he is. I mean, it just is what it is.
I don't think it's a factor whether or not it's hip hop or not. I mean, Cardi B has transitioned a little bit further beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with that being said and the influence that she directly got from Kodak with the whole Bodak, and that really propelled her into the stepping stones to where she ended up getting where she is now. I think with Durk, not to say that he's not going to have opportunity to do something like that. I mean, doing songs with Drake and all of that at the Nike, what was it, the Nike factory? I mean, it's all good looks to get him in that position. But I agree with Trap. I think if you were to put Cardi B in the face of a middle-aged person who's not a hip-hop fan, more than half of them would know who she is. If you were to do that with Durk, it would be so much guessing going on. It may be one out of 50, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, he's just now starting to cross over into some of the outlets that they would be watching.
With,
you know? So I do
what? With what? With
like
what?
Jimmy Kimmel and that type of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Like,
when he just now started
crossing over into those lanes. Like, I want to say he performed at Jimmy Kimmel a few weeks ago.
When I asked that question, though, I knew it wasn't really an answer that you could give me because both of those are artists coming out of Chicago. And at that time, it seemed like maybe I'm just kind of, I wasn't really paying attention to it. So I can't say who influenced who, but it seems like all of them came out. You know, it was always a drill artist. And I'm not saying that Sosa impact everybody, but what I'm saying, Kodak being from Florida, Cardi B being from New York, so just influence an artist on, you know, just two different, to come out with a certain song based off of his style and to catapult her into the level where she's at. I can't say that Chief Keef did that for anybody.
But that's what I'm saying. He paved the way for, you know, some of the biggest artists to follow in his footsteps. Like, so, with that same drill sound.
So look, when I said the comparison to Chief Keef influence on Chicago, basically what I meant though. Chief Keef influence on Chicago is similar to the way Kodak's influence on Florida is. Meaning like the people that's coming. You know what I'm saying? The hairstyles, the ratchetness, everything that he presented as an artist, but then being himself, is what the other young dudes behind him is coming out of being, though. The same way it seemed like with Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
And if I'm completely honest, I'll give it to Chicago to a certain extent. They definitely influence what's going on in Florida to a certain extent right now, too. So I mean, that's he exactly. definitely impacted the game.
No, that's no, no. Chief Keef impacted the game crazy. Right, I was just giving a comparison. I ain't want to like compare them like that. I'm just saying like this. This the influence they do.
Influencing the rap game versus creating pretty much a pop star, a superstar. I think that's two different things. So who's to say whose impact is bigger?
I'm gonna be real, like that Bodak Yellow song was cool and everything, but Cardi B had star quality. Like it didn't matter what the song was, you know what I'm saying? It didn't matter. She just had that it factor about her. I mean, she still got it. You know what I mean, it was just that it was perfect timing. It was a perfect storm, so to speak, or whatever. Like it would have been. I think any of her other songs at that time would have took off. I don't think she had no other music out at that time.
I don't think it could have been any song. That song in particular was very unique. She hasn't had another Bodak Yellow. Let's keep it a stack. Because that song was so unique. And to Bouvier's point, like, I mean, she completely, like, stole Kodak's flow and delivery and all that and style on that particular track. And I think that's what made it work. I don't think it could have been any song.
And you got to realize, like, Kodak was touching a lot, like to have Drake play a song in the jet, like he was getting a lot of good looks just from being an artist down there in Florida, man, off a mixtape. Like, I don't know, bro. I mean, there's no knock on anybody. I'm just saying he definitely had an influence on where he took it from to where he's at now, even with all the legal troubles, whether you like him or not. He's definitely, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people don't like a lot of stuff. We done had this conversation, you know, off the record. But he's definitely, he's something special, bro.
Yeah. And we ain't got to, you know, talk about it on the record. I do, like I told you, I like Kodak's music. I like a lot of his music. You know, it's just some of those character things we ain't got to get into. But I'm not as tapped into the people that's coming up after him as maybe I should be. I don't really know some of the. I think it's like a. Is it a guy named Jack Boy or something like that? I'd be saying.
That was his. Oh, well, is his artist? Was his artist? I don't know.
Yeah,
he would know better than me.
he was up on the Snapple game, but you know they having a little differences right now. Some crazy.
But to me, Spottum got him. He's definitely like an offspring from Kodak.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like that.
I mean, so, I haven't really tapped into his music, just like some of the Instagram posts and things like that that kind of went viral. Maybe I need to check his music. Like, his sound is like Kodak, too.
Too much Spottum got him? Nah, not really, I don't think. Well, I don't know. Maybe, yeah. What'd you say, Boofy?
That's your time. It's kind of hard to say, bro. Like, to me personally, Kodak's one of a kind, bro. He's something so special. You know what I'm saying? He's versatile. He can rap. He does his little singing thing. And if you're not like in tune, like it's kind of a good thing to not be in tune to what he's really talking about. You know what I'm saying? Because it's real ignorant, real ratchet. And, you know, but at the same time, he does have some thought provoking, like, I don't know, man. I'm just a big fan of him ever since he came out, man. And like we keep saying he has a big influence and he's been doing it for a while and he's young himself. Like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. I'm going to introduce you. Maybe we could get a chance. I'll introduce you to another artist, you know, another song that just dropped and we could play it later on. But, you know,
that's a fact.
He's definitely got a lot of influence, bro.
Listen, I definitely feel like you got a lot of influence, man. Cause I mean, not even just I don't know about the music, but just the look and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't never seen nobody with them damn dreads like the way he had all that fucking, I always thought he looked like fucking the daughter from The Simpsons with that hairstyle he came out with and all that shit, you know what I'm saying? that's how I always felt like the shit looked. That shit was always, you know what I'm saying?
But those the mats. Yeah. It's what you call the mats, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. People would just say they dreads or whatever the case might be. But, man, like, it's crazy, dog. I'm older, but I look at him as somebody that I know his influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the potential and how he could shift the culture down there in Florida, You know what I'm saying? So he a dope artist, man.
Nah, he's super dope. He wouldn't be around so long if he wasn't dope, dude. And
I mean,
really...
Rolling Loud in New York, for artists like that, that says it right there. Like, that's
What says it to me is when the president of the United States says you could be free. That's what says it to me. Like, it's something about you.
He didn't take no picture with Trump or nothing either, right? To get that shit, right? I know.
He was locked up. He couldn't.
Yeah, Wayne took the picture with Trump to make sure
he did. He did shit, shot him out though. He shot him out once he touched down. Though.
Man, he got a Trump ring.
Right. He better.
Right. He got a Trump championship ring, and I ain't even gonna lie, bro. This is what lets you know how much I really rock with him. Because how he stands on that shit, whether I agree with it or not, that's what he stands on. And he feels like that man gave him his freedom. So he feels like, hey, I owe this man some type of loyalty because he did something for me that shit ain't nobody else do. So, you know, I never seen eye to eye with any of Trump's views. But, you know, I also wasn't locked up and needed to be pardoned. So, I have to respect him on that stance. He said he raised a hit about it. Fuck with Trump, he raised a hit about it type shit. Like, that's his loyalty behind that shit.
What's going to happen from that is when Trump ready to run in 3 more years, that's when he going to say, hey, favor for a favor.
You owe, nigga.
You owe.
That's a fact. So, all right. So
that's how politics work.
You stand by. Hold on real quick. I got to get Bouvier. This question for Bouvier right now. So you stand by his moves that he be making. So you know what I'm about to ask right now, right? So how you feel about him grabbing his mother butt?
Man, look, again. this what I'ma say, right? Being that he a young dude, right? I can't say like, all right, put it like this. Whether I agree with any of these people, right? Whether I agree with anything that they do or not, I'm my own. Like, I have to worry about my own and focus on myself. Right? I got kids to raise, and I'm more focused on that, right?
I like how you prefaced with
that. That was very great. But this is his response to him grabbing his mother butt right here. Here you go.
So...
that's a long ass video. Hold on. Why you gonna say this shit?
That's his old lady, man.
Why you loading that up, Trav? I'm gonna just go on record and say that, you know, I've been young, and I never did no shit like that before. I doubt every one of y'all niggas have been young, and I doubt any of y'all ever did that like that. You know, not anything remotely close to that. Like, so I don't think that the youth can be used as an excuse. But you know,
let's see if. Have you heard this response?
I got it right here. I'm trying to bring it up right now.
I'm asking you.
Nah, I ain't heard it.
I'm gonna never be depressed again. I don't never want to. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go all green today. Stuff like that.
Let me turn it up a little bit.
I'll be like, Kodak, we need some money. We need some money. Now listen, this how I know if everybody fuck with me, right? I'm gonna say that. I got 11 million followers. Yo, I should at least get 1 out of 8, 9 Grammys.
So I tell you, told that Grammy shit. You see this shit?
He gonna get one.
Nigga with a Grammy, nigga.
Yeah.
He's gonna do this.
Shit, probably
hit this. Nigga with a Grammy. What you gonna do?
I just need me one of them, bro. So I'm gonna never be depressed again. I don't never wanna. You know what I'm saying?
Let me read this shit.
My mama, my security, she got gun license. She go to the gun range. And let me show y'all what my mama's doing. Let me show y'all my mama. Let me show y'all my mama right quick. I'm gonna show y'all my mama. Since y'all think the snipe shit a joke. Nobody think that. Nobody think the snipe shit a joke. This is my mama right here. This is what my mama do. She got all kind of what you call all her shit like this. So they try to play like a nigga tripping. And y'all love me dearly unconditionally, so y'all all.
Hold on, there you go. You talking about it right there. My bad, y'all. My bad, listeners. I'm about to get you this nonsense this man said.
I wanted to explain that when I like little beautiful picture of her, but we ain't got to do all that. You know what I'm saying? Listen, man. I don't owe nobody explanation at the same time I do. Like my diehard fans, you know, who gonna defend me, do whatever. But you know, to the outside world, they don't know a nigga, they don't know what's going on. So they try to play like a nigga tripping. And y'all love me dearly unconditionally, so y'all always back me up. But let me get on my what you call it. Oh, I love the shit out of my mama though. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we've been through a lot of shit, fam. I'm saying my mama was my mama and my daddy, bro. I'm saying my daddy left us, homie, and when the nigga was young, bro. My mama, dog, we was broke as shit, homie. And it was like mom stood up, homie, and shit like, yeah, boy, and bitch, I stood up. You know what I'm saying, like, bitch. That's what a nigga was hitting licks for. That's what a nigga was where we were coming. My man had it like that to be asking her for shit. But anyway, like, nigga made a way through all the jail, prison, all kind of shit. Ooh, the bitch, that nigga be in the streets every day. She could lose a nigga. You know what I'm saying? So when I see my mama, homie, I adore her, homie. Like, I kiss her feet, homie. What you talking about, boy? And then it's like, man, fuck a nigga, boy. You know what I'm saying? And shit. But, yeah, with a woman like this, some of you niggas don't even holler at your mama. Some of you niggas don't even call y'all mama, homie. Some of you niggas don't spend time with y'all mama, homie. But at the same time, it's on some shit like, nigga, how you expect to love a bitch if you don't love your old girl? And I'm saying stuff is like, nigga, that's my old girl. Nigga, the fuck? She ain't tripping? Damn, I don't give a fuck what you talking about. Nigga, talking about shouldn't grab her. Nigga, I grab my mama because, bitch, I treat my mama like my lady, nigga. That's my queen, nigga. Fuck you talking about, boy? That's my
Z-queen. I feel her so right what? Now, bitch.
She ain't tripping, nigga. I don't fuck my mom. We ain't doing no crazy shit, nigga. I grab her like shit. I make her feel real beautiful. I make her feel and make her and remind her mama you beautiful. I'm fucked up by you, mom. I'm in love with you. Fuck you talking about, man.
That's what's up, Kodak.
Since
that's
every
what's
little up, boy, Jack. Every little boy, every little baby, nigga.
That's what's up, Yak. I'm finished. I'm stopping it right there, B. I'll fuck with Yak on that one right there, B.
I'd like to hear Bouvier.
Go ahead, Bouvier.
Well, nah, what you want to ask?
What's your thoughts on what he said?
Yeah, well, I just want to hear your feedback.
Like I was trying to say earlier, and you heard him, what he said at the start of it, y'all love me unconditionally. Like, I don't think y'all really understand how much I really rock with that nigga, man. Like, besides all the, it's crazy, right? Like, all right, put it like this. How y'all feel about Kanye? I feel about Yak.
Wait, what?
How y'all love Kanye?
That's real. Now I understand what he's saying.
Wait. No. Did you just compare Kanye West, bro?
Yeah.
Your love for Kanye is my love for Yak.
That's real shit.
When I'm pissed off at Kanye and y'all say, nah, you know, it was this and he going through this and
he did this
and he really mean this and guess what? That's how I feel about that boy Yak.
Well, I've always given you know, my interpretation and my thoughts on like the things that Kanye has said. So I'm gonna join Dolly and Trap, and I would love to hear your feedback on this Kodak Black.
I got a question for you right now, Bouvier. Would you vote for Kodak Black to be president?
Well,
I'm scared. Oh my God.
Y'all really asking me that?
It's a question.
I mean, I think... we had Trump.
Oh my God.
I feel like somebody should vote for Kodak Black to talk to a therapist.
Nah, if that man's intelligent,
niggas,
dude.
Hold on. If y'all niggas put yay on your ballot.
Kanye, wait. You know what you're not about to do is compare Kodak Black to Kanye continuously. That's crazy.
Both of them in the same lane. I feel you.
You got to remember. Maybe this is what it is, dog. And for the listeners, y'all won't be able to see this, but for the people in the room, man, this is family, bro. Like, this is family, dog. Y'all can look at this.
Show it.
Like, this is family, dog. Like, regardless. PTO, like, this is family, dog.
Nigga, that's his man.
Y'all might not understand that, but... Uh-huh. Them two ride, like, they ride for each other.
Well, that's what's up. I ain't know they fucked with each other like that. That's dope.
This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is before any of this shit popped off. So, now both of them where they at, yak where he at, and he's still showing love to bruh. So, guess what? It's all love. Like,
that's a fact.
With all the bullshit, like I said, how y'all love Ye, we love yak.
Don't say y'all, say CPR.
He talking to you, life skills.
Definitely talking to you, life skills.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, like...
All right, let me fuck your head up even more. How you love JD, nigga, I love Yak, nigga.
He mean it, nigga.
That's fine for you to, like his expression and his music and his art and everything. But what about the wild, outlandish things, bro, that he do? Like, what
and
about
listen,
that, man?
Listen to what he just said, right?
I did. And I'm
going to tell you. I ain't going to hold you. I felt what he said, B.
You felt? You said he treat his mom like his girl? You felt that?
Hold on. I had to think about what he was saying, right?
I know what he said. I know what he meant by what he said.
That nigga had me. This nigga younger than me, bro. And this nigga got me. You know what? I ain't talking to my mama how I need to be talking to my fucking
mama. Yo, get
mama,
out of
bro.
Here, yo. Y'all niggas is crazy.
No,
y'all
I'm just saying. I don't talk. Look, bro. Tomorrow ain't promised, bro. And I ain't been through what he been through with his mama, but my mama been there for me through all types of shit as well. My mama love me, bro. And I love my mama. But how often do we show that love to one another, bro? Tomorrow ain't promised, bro. You got to love that woman. I got to love my mama more. I need to be calling my mama more.
That's a fact.
I don't know how you turn this shit into Dear Mama, bro. I keep talking everything, but like, look, I heard what he said.
His affection for his mama made me realize, you know what? Yeah. Maybe I ain't loving my mama enough.
Bro, listen, y'all moving the goalposts.
What I caught was this right here, B. You know what I'm saying? Like his mom's being a single mother, you know what I'm saying? Like when people grew up with a single mother, you know what I'm saying? And at times your mother would go out there and try to find somebody, you know what I'm saying, to be with, to make sure they with somebody, but then you as the son would be sitting there saying, nah, you don't need nobody, you got me. You know what I'm saying? Cause they only want the affection and the love from, you know what I'm saying, from a companion. But it's like, nah, cause I don't want to see you getting hurt by nobody or nothing like that. Like I can sit here and tell you I love you every day. I can sit here and tell you you're beautiful every day. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. Like I don't agree with the grabbing your mom's ass shit. No, none at all. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely tell my mom every time I see her how beautiful she is. You know what I'm saying? What she's wearing, she looked nice in it. This. I give her 100 compliments. How her hair looked nice. So I really felt what he was saying within that shit right there, B. You know what I'm saying?
This is wild that y'all sitting here justifying this. And I would like to hear from a woman and get her perspective. Dolly, can you weigh in on this? Like, I don't know if you have kids or not, but I mean, you're a woman and I think y'all born with some kind of instincts. So like, what do you think about this? Like what he said?
I do not have kids, but, you know, I understand where he's coming from, but I definitely was confused about, you know, him grabbing his mom's behind. I was a bit confused about that, but I get where he's coming from and saying, you know, how he basically wants to pay reverence to his mother for everything he did. Yeah, the grabbing the butt top. Yeah,
grabbing the butt was a little bit much. Like,
man, that man said he'll kiss her feet. What yeah, you that's mean?
A fact. That's a fact.
That was nice. That
how would you feel nice. About that? If he kissed his mother's feet on the camera, how would y'all feel about that?
I think that's weird. I think that's weird, bro.
Nah, man.
You, so you worshiping the ground that your mother walked on? The person that put you here, that allowed mm-hmm. you to be the young king that you is? You mm-hmm. gonna say that's weird?
That held it I mean, down every motherfucking weird. Birthday, Christmas for you. You know what I'm saying? You ain't never missed
man,
no.
That
and I show my gratitude, but I'm not kissing her feet, though.
Man, listen, I kiss my mother's feet. Bro. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I ain't gonna lie,
that's
bro.
That's my mama, bro. Like, you know, I think part of that, bro, some of it is this, though. Depending upon your relationship that you have with your mama, has a lot to say about, you know, your intake on what it is he's saying. Like, for me, for example, I talk to my moms every day. You know what I'm saying? It's a, whether it's a text, a phone call, any time of the day or night, she can call me at 8:30 in the morning. She can call me at 12:30 at night. You know what I'm saying? Like, me and my mom's got that kind of relationship. I respect her. She still look out for me for this day as if, you know, she still look at me like I'm her, mm-hmm. I'm her baby. You know what I'm saying? So she always feel like she got to be in protect mode. If I'm out in the streets or if I'm going out, she know I'm going to be out late. Like, hey, yo. Move, you know how to move the right way, like always sending me the little warning signs, make sure I'm holding and moving right, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you got a certain relationship with your mom, and my mom divorced my pops a couple of months before I got married, you know what I'm saying? So going through a marriage at the time that my peoples was getting divorced, what it did for me was see that everything don't last forever, and you got to put time and work into this shit. And then on top of that, they became better friends apart than they dope. Were as husband and wife, so they got cool again. And my pop's been dead for, what, over 10 years now? So in that time span, she's become even more of a dominant person that I speak to and continue communication with because I don't have my father no more, so we constantly talking. And that's dope, you know what I'm saying? So if you have a relationship with your mom, whereas y'all hold each other down, you know, I don't allow, but I've had strict and direct conversations about other men in my mother's life. And I'm like, you know, you a grown woman. You got a beautiful home, beautiful job, beautiful woman, beautiful mind. You got a great spirit. And it's going to be creeps. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? A woman like that attract creeps. I don't care what age creeps come. Mm-hmm. So any dude that have any interest, I sit down, I let them know, I look them out of the eye. Like, you know, a mistake is a fatal one. Period. I don't play with her.
You really and do that?
Yeah. If
I don't do
if,
that. I just don't talk I to them niggas. I don't be cool with them niggas at all. That's what I do. I ain't cool with them niggas. Because if I got to whip your ass, nigga, ain't going to be no friendship or nothing involved in this. I'm going to whip your ass, nigga. That's it.
It's to a point after the first one or two. Mm-hmm. If she has any engagement with any men, I don't even know about it. She ain't going to bring it to my doorstep. Like that. Put it like that. And the dudes know mm-hmm. that I'm telling the truth. So, you know, but back to him, I mean, like, again, the grabbing and the ass clutching, that's a little bit out there. I'm not doing nothing like that. But, yeah, me and my moms is homies to this day.
Yeah,
this is what I'll say. Like, growing up, I had both of my parents, right? But, like, my grandma was more so my mother more than anything. And losing her, which was her mother, you know what I'm saying? But losing her is a pain that I ain't never, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I was up on the daddy, like, I was trying to be like my pops was my football coach, so like I was more so trying to be, I was influenced by my pops more than my mom, you know what I'm saying? So when dudes be like, yo, dear mama and mama, or like, I love my mom, but I ain't really receive and understand the love of a mother until having a child of your own.
Yeah, yeah, like, facts. Like, facts, boo.
Like, my mom, dog,
that's real.
And I'll go ahead and open up. My mom used to run track, dog, for FAMU, right?
Mm.
She had records in high school that's still up to this day. Wow. She ran track at FAMU with a Pam, old girl that do the Fox, Pam mm-hmm. Oliver. That was Pam her, Oliver. That was her track teammate or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But guess what happened? She got pregnant with me.
Mm.
So that could have crushed some of her dreams.
Mm.
That could have, she could have thought she was the next FloJo or some shit. Mm-hmm. But she had me. And my mom was like, my mom was quiet, but at the same time, strict as fuck, like. And like I said, you don't understand the love of your mother and how much she really wants the best for you until you have kids of your own and you trying to instill certain shit in your kids that your parents instilled in you, and understanding the difficulty that can transpire in that. Like, you don't understand the sacrifices that your parents made for you until you have to make those same type of sacrifices for your own kids. And I ain't gonna lie, like, man, I feel like I let my parents down, bro. So, at certain times, you know, like, you don't realize how good you got it. You get what I'm saying? For some people that don't even, there's some people that grew up and don't even know their mom or their dad. I had both of them in my life, and they did their best for me. Get what I'm saying? So for me to not become the best that I could have potentially been, and all that rebellion shit that I did at a young age, it wasn't really called for.
We ain't know no better though.
So what I'm really saying, like, hearing Yak speak, how he speak, like y'all say, I ain't saying I'm gonna go cuff my mama ass, but I love the fuck out of that woman, dog. I love her, dog.
That's a fact. That was real shit, though, man. Like, to stay on the top for a minute, though, like when you said the shit about like having a and when you have kids, you see shit different, B. You know what I'm saying? And I definitely went through that moment, B. I remember when my oldest son, when he was doing the dumb shit I was doing. You know what I'm saying? When I was young, around his age, I never forget going off on him one day, right? and then I called my mom's after, B. And I told my mom, I said, "Yo, Ma." I said, "Ma, I just want to call you right now and tell you, yo, I'm sorry, yo, for real." She said, "What you talking about? What's wrong? What you did?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sorry for all the shit I did when I was younger and all the hell I put you to this, that, this, all the hell I put you through and all that." You know what I'm saying? "I'm sorry, for real." You know what I'm saying? I told her that. She, and we had a real conversation, you know what I'm saying? And she was like, yo, you don't want to take it. My mom's and my pops, they wasn't together. My pops was there, though. You know what I'm saying? He was there. But my mom's, like, for the most part, I was with my mom's, though. You know what I'm saying? Like younger until my mom's was like, "Nah, you got to come get this nigga. He bugging the fuck out." You know what I'm saying? "Time for you to take over this shit." And she was just like, yo, you got to understand. Shit you was doing, yo, I was scared, yo. She's like, "I was scared, man. I didn't know how to raise a man." You know what I'm saying? Like that. So, like, that's what, I didn't know how to talk to you about it. So my reaction to it was just about being physical. You know what I'm saying? That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like that. She was like, she told me that, like, yo, I was scared. You know what I'm saying? It was hard for me. I didn't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And she did a good job, though, for the most part. You know what I'm saying? She did a good job. Because, like, and she told me, like, to the day, she told me, like, I was her test run. You know what I'm saying? I was her test run. And everything that every mistake she made with me, she made sure she ain't make that mistake with my brother. You know what I'm saying? And my brother turned out to be a great, you know what I'm saying, a great man. You know what I mean? So she did a great job, you know what I'm saying? I'm still good. You know what I'm saying? I'm good. My brother great. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And we all good. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
I'm going to be fully transparent right now, bro. Life really comes full circle, right? Because, like I said, like, I ain't had the best of relationship with my mom. You get what I'm saying? So now we haven't, like, we closer than we ever been. You get what I'm saying? And now I'm looking back at it. The one thing that I held against her, 9th grade, I got put off the football team. My grades was high enough to play by the school standards, but because I got an F on my report card, you ain't playing no more football. You got an F on your report card, right? My GPA was high enough, and I did not understand that. And it made me go down a fucked up path. But you'll never understand it until you put in that same exact position. Yep. And today, like I said, I'm being transparent. I had to do the same exact thing. My son fucking up in school. Mind you, it ain't nothing but peewee football. But guess what, son? You can't play, bro. Your education is more important. And if that education ain't right, that school ain't going to let you play no way.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And she instilled that in you, B. You know what I'm saying? And that's a lesson you learned from her.
That was one thing that I held against my mom forever. And here it is, damn, the 20-some years later, bro. I had to do the same exact thing. So, you know, like I said, man, you could agree with it, you could whatever. But that man, like I said, that dude younger than me, I respect him for speaking how he speak, because he making me think, you know what? Boy, how often do you call your mama and tell her you love her?
Well, that's a fact. That's a fact. I began to ask the question. I remember when they were doing the question about like what, who comes first, like your mother, your wife. I forgot what the third one was. I think it might have been kids or something like that.
Your kids, probably.
Yeah, I think it was your kids. And the way I always answered it, though, being people ain't agree with me when I would answer it like this. And I would say, my moms come first, yo. Like, my moms come first, my kids, then my lady. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are like, what you mean? Your mother.
That's
like,
crazy. Like, that's crazy that you feel like that.
Like, yo, but that's the way. That's the way I.
You have to understand it, though. That's mm-hmm. your relationship with her.
Mm-hmm. A like normal, I gotta hold moms down.
I feel like a normal man gonna say his kids.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
But we normal had this. Man, I don't have this. I don't have this conversation before, right? I don't have this conversation before, right? And they'd be like, "All right."
What you say? You ain't normal.
Yeah, you heard it right. A normal man will say his kids.
You a regular ass.
No, I'm saying in this situation, right? And you can only save one. You got your wife. All right. Let's say the house is on fire. The kids on one side and the wife is on one side. And we went, I'm talking about the tooth and nail behind this argument. And some niggas felt like, yo, I got to save them kids. And then you have some niggas saying, yo, I got to save my wife.
Mm, no, so, kids. Kids, man. It's kids.
Well, let's unpack that. Let's really think about this now.
Children are the future, B. Children are the future, B. You know what I'm saying? We lived our life, B. You know what I'm saying? The kids are the future, though. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I go with the net. Yeah, what's the name that said this shit ill one time? I wish I could find it right now, but Dick Gregory said this shit ill one time on The Breakfast Club about that. I forgot how he said it. I'm gonna mess it up.
So depending on the gender, right? We know ain't nothing like a mother's love. How them kids gonna survive without their mom?
Mm-hmm. That's a fact. I mean,
as a man, how you gonna raise them kids without their mom?
Mm. I mean, it could be done. It could be done. Like, but the kids of the future, B. The kids of the future. Yeah. You gotta get the kids, B, first.
Everybody say, man, I'm trying to save everybody and not sacrifice.
Yeah, definitely.
Myself.
Definitely. That's what I'm gonna definitely do right there. I'm throwing up all their ass out the window. Yo, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? And I stay up here and hold this shit down. But yeah, the kids get it though. Where you at? Where y'all at with it? Everybody up on here, I think except for Dolly, got kids. So what's up, y'all? What y'all
kids, answer? Man. Kids. I mean, me and my wife, we don't already had them kind of discussions. It even comes to a point like I don't know if y'all saw that joint during the pandemic when it first popped off, where the kids are standing in the middle between the parents and they run in opposite directions. It's like, which kid will go where? My kids is, I don't want to say trained, but they're raised, go with your mama.
Mm-hmm.
Like, protect your mm-hmm. mama, go with your mama, leave me, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I
got it.
To do what I got to do. It's been a couple of weeks ago, well, that's a lot, a couple months back, we went out to eat as a whole family for the first time during the pandemic. And it was right when they had first kind of changed the curfew and the regulations and all that. So we went out to eat. And, you know, the youngins is out, everybody out, music playing, everybody happy to be outside. And some kids got to get into a little altercation outside the restaurant. And this is like in a shopping district. So I'm like, okay, look, I told my family, I said, look, follow me. Don't walk toward the street. Just stay on the left of me. Stay behind me. If something happened to me, y'all keep going to the car. But I'm not letting it happen to y'all. And in the middle of some 17 and 18 year olds getting their ruckus on, I straight walked through all of them, pushed whoever I needed to get out of the way and got my family to safety. You know what I'm saying? And my sons was like, especially my middle one, he was looking like, okay, now I finally understand what you mean about how to move and how to protect mommy and all. I said, yeah, forget about me. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind fighting 2, 3, 10 people if I got to for y'all. Just handle her. She'll get y'all the way y'all need to be. Don't worry about me. If I go down and if I go out, I went down and out because I was supposed to. And I did it because I need y'all to do what y'all need to do off top. So it's always, you know, and her and I have had conversations like, yo, it's the kids every time. You know what I'm saying? Like, and don't feel bad about it. Don't have a second thought about it. It's the kids every time.
So we got to see life skills. What do you do in this situation?
I do not receive that.
Let us know. Life skills. Let's go.
No, he's saying he's not even entertaining it.
Oh, he's not entertaining it. Because, okay.
Yeah, he don't want to accept that into a realm of thinking is what he's saying.
Okay, now I got you with it.
All right, so let's, when the zombie apocalypse come, be ready.
That's it.
That's all you got to do.
All right, well, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we definitely, Dolly.
But I will say this, though, before we move on, from just, you know, from a spiritual plane of existence, as long as your bloodline continues, when you intertwine your bloodline with another person and you have children, as long as those bloodlines continue, then your family will still be able to be reincarnated and come back through, you know, that DNA, so... I will say that.
I don't know, man. I don't know about that one because motherfuckers be fucking some, making bad decisions with their dick.
Them booger wolves.
I don't know about that.
Them booger wolves.
Yeah, man. The butterheads. A lot of dudes is beating down butterheads, shooting the club up, and next thing you know, it's massacres out here walking in the streets.
I got a quick question. It's gonna sound kind of off topic, but what y'all think about rappers' first baby mama? Is that true?
Oh no, that's a fact. You gonna nigga first baby mama? Them niggas be having goddamn. Booger wolves, this nigga on booger wolves. Oh my god, you can tell the difference right there. That should be crazy. Man.
Hold the exception.
Yo, I love. I'm married, but I love the mother of my child. That's all I'm gonna say. Regardless of whatever, you know what I'm saying. So when I blow up, I still love the mother of my child. Fuck all y'all haters that's gonna come. If the pictures ever get exposed, I still love the mother of my child.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Cause she's a real one. That's what I'm saying. She's a real one. So I'm the same way with it, though. But yeah, but Dolly, I'm going to let you know, if you're roaming through the stages, I'm definitely, after this moment right here, I'm definitely checking out Kodak performance tomorrow, though. I'm on it. So I'm letting you know that right now. You know what I mean?
Man, expect Yak to be one of the best performances see. I'm going to say that now. This going to sound crazy, but what 50 going to sing for you? Power?
Nah, man, that's my favorite song, V, so don't do that right
now. Yo, there, that is wild. Yo, Trav, you
that's what y'all ready? Y'all ready to hear that new BMF record? Like,
this is a big rich town.
That BMF shit kind of hard.
At least you can wish me luck. Y'all turning up to that?
That shit is kind of hard, though.
What up, blood? What up, blood?
At least you could wish me luck. Y'all hype about that right now?
That shit is kind of hard. I ain't gonna lie. I like that intro.
Definitely, shout out to
50,
man. Shout out to Curtis
Jackson. What is all this? The clown posse. The insane clown posse right there.
The insane clown posse started popping.
The motherfuckers is bugging right there.
Okay. Right.
But yeah, though, so I think, I don't know what day Bobby performing, because Bobby supposed to have some new music right now. I ain't hear it yet.
Niggas ready to see Bobby twerk?
Man, listen, man. Stop that, man. What'd you say, Dolly?
He teased the new music. I'm surprised you ain't see or hear it.
I ain't hear it. I'm about to look at it up right now. We going to listen to it together.
You talking about the video shoot, Dolly?
Yeah.
CPR got something against Bobby. CPR got something against Bobby.
Nothing against Bobby. Nah, you remember, early on when I first was getting on his app around the time he was coming home, it was rooms being made, the King, Welcome Home to the King of New York. And I was like, okay, I didn't know it was like that. I mean, I ain't know it like that. So, that being said, I'm just like, where the fuck is the music, Trap? Like, you know what I'm saying? Where's the music? Like, the King of New York been home for almost a year. Damn near a whole year. And only thing I ever seen him do is, like, the dance in the mirror and dance on the video set. And then release a tutorial of how to dance like him. And I did see the one where he was performing on stage dancing.
When you see
can we at least give him some credit for being a stand up nigga in this fucked up generation?
Come on, man. Nigga,
what
solid,
do you mean by
nigga.
That?
Yeah, I definitely.
Solid, nigga.
Oh, you okay? I see what you're saying. I mean, I give him, yeah, absolutely, man. But I'm talking about the music, though. That's all I'm talking about. You know,
we often speak on the fuck ups that these niggas out here doing. It's a lot of fucked up shit going on, and we pay more attention to the fuck ups more than. Giving any type of acknowledgement for somebody doing some real honorable shit. So regardless of what he coming out doing, what I do want to say is salute to that young man for sticking to the fucking code, man. Being real when it's so easy to be fake in this fucking society today, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you just said. I was just, you know, purely talking about the music standpoint and like how, you know, on this app it was like, you know, it was like the King of New York was home and it's like he got the buzz while he ain't dropped no music. You know what I mean? That's all it is.
From what I heard was that I don't think, like, when people get behind that wall, some people's mind won't be focused on making no music. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I ain't hearing he ain't write no raps the whole time.
He might have been in there for like six, seven years, bro.
Like,
well, it wasn't like that, though. You know what I'm saying?
When your main focus is just coming home, mm-hmm. you never know what's really going on behind them walls, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
It's hard to be out here in these streets free for some of these niggas out here writing these raps if you listening to today's modern music. So behind that wall, ain't no telling what type of pressure you under, especially he was kind of young too, bro. So mm-hmm. I know what you're saying, and I get what you're saying. And I kind of felt the same way, but we got to kind of stop because I feel like we got to shift the culture and acknowledge greatness. When we do see some type of greatness, acknowledge the greatness and wish success on every young black male that's actually out here trying to do something. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I do wish success. I'm the one that said all he got to do is get one and he out of here for real. But it's just, it might be a little too late. I mean,
you know what I think it is, bro? I'm going to tell you. What I think it is this. When you look at his content prior to him going away, it was kind of in a certain lane. It didn't venture too far left or right. And that shit got him put behind the wall. So when you think about it, if he writing, it's probably within the same content. It's like, yo, do I really want to come out and talk about the same shit I was talking about before I went in? He probably going to need, I mean, I'll be honest, if I was in his shoes as a young 20-something-year-old dude, I would want to get out there. My homies is, you know, welcoming me home with bags and bags of money and opportunity. Bro, I want to live a little bit so that way I can have something to write about. I want to experience some shit so that way I can actually have a whole different level of content and present some different kind of music because I don't want to talk about being locked up. I was in that bitch for a long time. There's a whole bunch of things I don't want to think about that I might have seen. I don't really want to talk about the stuff that I was rapping about before that landed me behind the wall. And I really ain't been too far outside of my neighborhood to experience life to even have too much more to say at this point. So, shit, if they welcome him on with duffel bags of dough, diamonds, and do what you want to do, man, I'm going to do that for a little minute, get myself right, and then I'm gonna go ahead and start working on this music, man. But I got to have some experiences, and especially coming home. I mean, keep in mind, when he went in, a lot of people wasn't even a thought. You know, a lot of things weren't even hot. And he come out to a pandemic, the Trump gone, and a whole bunch of others. Like, man, it's a whole bunch of different shit you really got to get acclimated to. I know a dude who just came home, matter of fact, who was tore off for something he did not do, that there was a free campaign, like Free Him campaign since 1998. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Before that. And he just came home this year. So he ain't trying to jump back out into the world too fast. He's trying to really pace himself, do what he could do to help the youth that he sees in immediate danger, and reestablish commitment and contact with his loved ones. It's like, and enjoy life, enjoy freedom. Like,
you know what it is, Esquire. So it's this, right? Like, I think this is what it is with me. Like, I don't understand. Like, when I was first getting on this app, right, and it was like, the King of New York home. This is what I really honestly feel like, bro. And y'all can say whatever y'all want, but this is what I feel like. I feel like people from New York is looking for anybody to bring them back and relevance with music. Hold on. Let me finish. I want to hear what you say, but I want even want to finish, bro. Because I feel like I didn't never hear nobody say Bobby Smurda was the king of New York before he got locked up, bro. Not one person. I wasn't on Clubhouse then, so I can clearly see rooms, but I was on Instagram. I was on other social media. I ain't never heard nobody say that, bro. But as soon as, like, you know what I'm saying, he get out, it's like, welcome home to the king of New York. And it's like multiple rooms all through my timeline about this. On my hallways or whatever. And I'm just like, all right, so now it's 8 months later or however long. Where's the music, bro? Like, that's all I'm saying. I feel like y'all was trying to, some of y'all, not every person from New York, but some people was just looking for any relevant person to bring, you know, the ball back to New York. And I land there for real.
All right. So ain't nobody was thinking that Bobby Smurda was gonna come back and be the bar god and bring the shit to New York and put New York on a pedestal on some lyrical shit. Bobby was never a rapper like that. Bobby was an entertainer, man. Like, Bobby was, you know what I'm saying? Like, he had the energy of a superstar and shit like that. He wasn't no rapper though, B. You know what I'm saying? So that wasn't, nobody expected that right there. Now, as far as on some King of New York shit, that shit was just probably being said. I never said that, but that was probably being said as far as because of the other nigga who was claiming that King of New York shit before. You know what I'm saying? It was just a take it away from, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, this nigga wasn't no fucking, the solid nigga about to come home. And this is actually for the young niggas, you know what I'm saying? This is for the young niggas too. This ain't even for like the niggas like the older generation and shit like that. You know what I mean? So wasn't nobody looking for Bobby to come back home and be killing it with the bars and shit like that. He ain't had bars before he got locked up. Like what kind of music? What music are you expecting from Bobby Smurda, bitch? Go ahead, Bobby.
That's what I was gonna say. I think the bar is just too high for him. And, you know, to S-Class's point, he had a pocket. And, you know, that pocket he can't really get into that pocket anymore due to his circumstances. So, you know, he's just doing what he can. And he was in for a minute. He left at the peak of his career. Essentially, he was just taking off. And I think he's just trying to find his way. But I do think that the precedence is just way too high. And that's probably why, you know, there's some degree of disappointment from some people. Like, even his comments being shambles. I'm like, I'm surprised he ain't turned these comments off. I go and read them. I'm like, why y'all doing this to him on his own page? So
I had to let New York speak for themselves first. But, like, can we say that being that this game is heavily oversaturated right now, that maybe those 15 minutes, like, you lucky to get those 15 minutes before this shit. Like, some people hope for those 15 minutes of fame, but now with this game being oversaturated, we constantly getting content, so many new artists, those 15 minutes getting shorter and shorter. So for him to have his moment that he had, and for him to do, like I said, what he did, honorable, like you said, there ain't nothing for him to catch another one. He just got to get back in that groove and, you know, hopefully with experience and all the shit that's going on, you know, he got brighter days right now. He's experiencing it and hopefully he'll be able to put it out in his music, you know.
Yo, I really be feeling as if you be trying to take a shot every chance you get, B. Every chance you get, you want to take a shot at NY, B. You know what I'm saying?
Now you know how I feel, though.
That wasn't even a shot, bro. Like,
that was a bazooka.
Yeah, like
no, that wasn't even a shot. It was my honest how I felt, bro. Like, because I never heard this rhetoric about him before he went in, you know what I'm saying? And I understand what you said as far as, like, you know, you kind of alluded to what Bouvier was saying, is like, from a cold perspective, like, nah, man, like, he kept it, you know, and somebody else was doing other things that was claiming that. I respect that. So I guess if you look at it from that perspective, you know what I mean, that's different than saying he the king. I'm looking at it like the king of rap from, you know what I mean, the king of New York. What they used to call Biggie, you know what I mean?
He wasn't gonna be like no, like the king of New York gotta be a bar guard, dude. Like, you gotta be spitting some shit, you know what I'm saying, to represent the town like that. You can't be rapping like a nigga from VA and shit. No, a nigga from Richmond, actually. I'm gonna say that
y'all need unity, bro. Because we could kind of touch on this, man. I heard somebody, I ain't gonna say no names, but they were saying, like, it's hard for New York artists because when, you know, being at the hip-hop police and, you know, certain shit that we see artists do down south wouldn't be accepted up there because everybody would get RICO type shit. Mm. As if that don't happen.
That happened everywhere.
Too.
That happened everywhere.
Niggas is trying to say like this will happen if we united, like y'all united.
This is music. You're talking about a business. You're talking about a business being. I don't really feel like, and also like when people say that though, I feel like New York, like nowadays New York do be uniting as far as when it comes to the music though. You know what I'm saying? If a nigga hot though, like niggas are gonna do records together and shit like that, B. But ain't nobody
y'all finally you know, accepting upstate artists, you know. So
Man. Wasn't nothing coming out before them accept though, B. Like for you to say that is crazy.
Man, y'all ain't had no love for Rick James.
Man, niggas had everybody love.
I'm fucking with y'all.
That's class, man. Where you at, B? Come on,
I'm just
B.
saying. Hey, everybody
love Rick. That's
it. Rick James was rapping for Buffalo. Was y'all really Rick James New York?
I gotta ask my pops. I'm gonna ask my pops, man.
Me, but that's why when you look at it, that's why him and Eddie, one of the reasons why him and Eddie was saying like that was on some shit. Because it was New York niggas living in LA.
You know, whenever you're outside of your state, you're gonna link up with, you know, it's New York versus everybody type shit. That's how I feel about Florida. And I wish, like, the South, they say we united, but it don't really be united like that.
Nah,
like,
them niggas stay beefing with each other, B. They be stay beef. That shit date back to fucking Trickin' Royce beefing. Who else was beefing and shit? Like, them niggas was always beefing down there, B, in Florida, B. You know what I'm saying? I've seen that.
Yeah, you know you want to. Go ahead.
What happened?
Say it again.
Go ahead and rap New York. Go ahead, Bouvier.
Yeah, man.
Nah,
he's from New York. You know he's like, really from New York, right?
I ain't speak on it, you know what I'm saying? But I lived upstate for a couple of years, you know what I'm saying? One of the, like, three worst years of my life.
Oh,
but,
my God.
You know, shout out to Endicott, Binghamton, you know.
You was up there in the mountains, boy. You was up there
is that considered the country?
That's man.
It's definitely the country, man.
That's the mountains, B. That's
definitely the country. I met Tiger Woods up there. When I see you, I still want that fade. But
can you please tell him the Tiger Woods story, please, man, one time for us, man? Forget the Tiger Woods story.
All right, man. So, all right, growing up a young kid, my pops named me Tiger. That was my nickname. Just, you know. So, you know, moving up to New York, it was like a culture shock. Upstate New York, it was a culture shock because, you know, it ain't nothing but, you know, the other side. Like, you go days without seeing a black person outside of your family. So when Tiger Woods came out, you know what I'm saying, in the sport that he came out in, being a black dude, had the same name, I had a high reverence for him, I was rooting for him, I became an instant fan. And one day, I was at school, and my friend knew that I had a thing for Tiger Woods. Yo, you want to go see Tiger Woods? He's coming here at the tournament. What? Yeah, like, mind you, I'm like 9 years old, maybe 9 or 10. This is back in like 96, so I'm either about to be 11, let's say 10, somewhere around that, right? So we go to the tournament. Mind you, I'm the only black person out there, so I'm thinking this is going to be like the magical moment. I get to meet Tiger Woods. He going to show me love. I'm the only black person out here. We going to connect. It's going to be that. Mind you, Tiger Woods comes out. You know, he's out there playing golf. I don't even know the rules of golf, how you supposed to be quiet. Everybody's quiet. But everybody said, Tiger, can I get your autograph? So I'm right along with him. Can I have your autograph? He's coming right by me, signing other people's autographs. I'm like, dang, what's going on? Like, Tiger, can I have your autograph? Next hole, kid. This continues hole after hole, hole. Next hole, kid. He's signing everybody else's autograph, though. So it gets to the last hole. This man walks to the locker room. I'm depressed, like, oh, man. I ain't gonna get this man autograph. He lied to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? I see a limo pull up. I say, man, this gotta be his limo. I'm staying till he come out that locker room. I told my friend that was with me, yo, I'm meeting this dude and he gonna give me his autograph. He comes out. I walk up to him. I'm shitting now. Tiger, can I have your autograph? This nigga looks at me with the face and looks at my little hat. It's a knockoff Nike hat, but like he didn't want to sign the shit. I was thinking like, damn, like what? He pretty much like snatched the shit from me. Signed the shit. I snatched it back from his ass and look up to him, a 10-year-old kid, and look him dead in his eyes and tell him about damn time. And walk off. And walk off. I ain't even want the shit no more. Like, I'm depressed. Oh, shit. I'm depressed behind it. And I had this shit to this day. No. Like, I had this. And I feel like his autograph actually devalued my $10 flea market Patty Nike hat. Because my grandma brought that for me. And, you know, it has sentimental value like that. But yeah, like I said, I want to blow up enough to at least see this motherfucker in a celebrity boxing match. So we got to take ADHD to the fucking top. That's a fact. I don't give a fuck. I'm a D-list, C-list, B-list celebrity.
You gotta be careful. You know, Tiger made a titanium since that accident. Now, man, you be careful. You got a Kanye jaw, Paul.
Bionic man.
You might break your whole damn hand. Be careful with that one.
I'm willing. Triller, set this shit up. I'm willing.
Set it up.
I'm willing. I guarantee you, he not gonna Nate Robinson me, and we could do it. I feel like his arm's too short to box. You feel me? Because he Tiger Woods, but I'm Tiger Hood. You feel me?
Hello?
And yeah, it's about goddamn time.
Yeah, man. That was...
Yeah, you like, was wild. You said I was a 10-year-old kid, so Tiger Woods about that.
Take the beard and mustache off Bouvier and right, drop right about a foot and a half and imagine that shit in your head.
Right hand to God, bro. I put this on everything I love and anything I lost, bro. I'm going to find a picture so y'all can see the hat I'm talking about and you can see the kid that I was. And yes, this young kid said to him, yo, look them dead in his eyes about damn time. And I have like a vendetta for this nigga to this day.
Yo,
like,
listen, what did he say, bro?
What we going to do right now is we are going to campaign on ADHD so Bouvier can get the fade with Tiger Woods. He wants
I have
minutes,
trauma
so
behind this shit. Like, I'm just now getting over this shit. Doing.
Man, we're going to settle for getting him on the podcast to explain himself, bro. That's the goal. We'll get
that nigga. That's the goal.
There. He still want 5 minutes, though. He still want five
minutes.
Yeah,
I need my 5 minutes.
After the podcast, bro.
Yeah, after the podcast, after the 5 minutes. We definitely need that. You know what I'm saying?
After the pod?
I mean, now you got to do it before, and then we do the pod. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That's what we're going to do.
I don't give a fuck. I think after the conversation, I think some of the heat will beat on wall off, so I don't want to have the conversation. I really don't have. I said my words to the motherfucker. I want the fade, dog.
But look, fade, let me ask you this, though. Like, as a grown adult, do you think celebrities is obligated to, like, you know, sign autographs? Like, you think they should do that for everybody? Should just, you know, stand there to everybody?
So my thing is this right here with it, right? My thing is this. If you're going to give out autographs, B, you can't, I don't, like that pick and choose shit, you know what I'm saying? That pick and choose who you going to give it to, that shit is fucked up, especially when you're dealing with kids right there, you know what I'm saying? So I think really you should just, if you're going to be giving out autographs to kids like that, you're going to have to be standing there giving out all them autographs like that, because Santa Claus, when you go see Santa Claus and get them pictures, that nigga ain't going to be on some shit like, now, I'm only going to do the first 10 people. No, I nigga do that whole line and take them pictures, B, because you disappoint them kids, man. That shit is fucked up, though, son. You know what I'm saying?
If y'all, PTR, if y'all look, this is up there in upstate New York. That little hat I have in my hand right there, like I said, it's a knockoff Nike golf-type hat. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, man, like, that was that kid that told Tiger, I cussed Tiger Woods out right there, like, on everything I love, bro. But when you
when you told that story, I had a little tear in my eye. I got so sad, and then I started laughing. I ain't gonna hold
it. It's funny. I tell everybody the story. You know what I'm saying? Because when, like, if that's your first celebrity, first time meeting a celebrity, you know what I'm saying? And maybe as a kid, you have a certain, perception of what you think people are gonna be. I don't know, maybe I was just a kid, but the CPR, to your point, what made it just strange to me, like you said, picking and choosing. You get what I'm saying? If you coming right by me and you signing all these white kids and white grown-ups and you telling me the one black person out there, next whole kid, and I mean, you're signing ass of autographs, bro, not just one, a lot of people. And then you just walk off and you don't sign that autograph, bro.
I feel like he didn't want to be photographed giving you an autograph. Damn, I think it was obviously up, like, it's optics, you know, because he was trying to distance himself from, you know, being associated with blackness. And this, that sucks. But
this was actually his first. This tournament was the depending on how well he did, was going to be the determining factor if he became a pro or not. So this was like his last amateur game.
They mentioned that game in the documentary that came out on HBO too.
They mentioned it was that the BC.
You might be in that shit though, bro. Hold on, BC, you might have to watch it.
The BC Open in 1996 in the small ass town Endicott, New York. That's where I live. That shit was probably no more than 5 miles away from my house. That picture right there is in front of our apartment. The Friendly's in the back. It had a apple cider place. Yeah, the same field that he played on is the same field I practiced football. Like, yeah, like, it was a up moment.
You gotta understand, though, too, like, when you at a golf event, you know what I'm saying, it's either, like, what you do is, like, you either stand at one hole and you just see all the golfers come through that one hole, or you can find a golfer and you can follow him from hole to hole, like that, you know what I'm saying?
I also looked at it like he was trying to teach me the game type, like, follow me, keep paying attention to the game. Don't just be here for the autographs. Like, but for him to walk up to the locker room.
Did you start at the first hole up to the 18th hole following him the whole time?
This is what I want to say. Like, I think golf, like, mind you,
that's a fucking walk, dude.
I don't think you play the full 18 holes at once. So it might have been maybe 9.
Okay.
All the way through, though. But it was long as hell.
I think that was 18, B. I don't think that was no cut short shit. That was 18 holes. You followed him probably 18. You probably ain't realized that shit, B.
I tell the story 18. Like it was 18 sometimes, but I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I know this motherfucker ain't made me follow him that long.
Nah, you definitely did, bro. You just don't remember, because that's what, them niggas ain't cut that shit short on amateur. Nigga, if I go to the golf course right now, If I play a fucking round of golf, that's 18 holes, B, that I got to play. Ain't no cut short shit like that, B. It's 18 holes. You followed them from the first to the 18th, B.
And I have that autograph to this day, and what I want to do is maybe, you know what? Fuck it. An NFT on this motherfucker and set it up in the fucking ring, nigga. I'll lower the value on the NFT if he beat me.
That's a fact.
Because the autograph don't mean shit to me no more. It don't mean shit until I get that fade.
So we are setting it up right now, episode 3 of ADHD right now.
I'm putting it in the universe. That's how I feel about us, man. We up there with the big dogs.
We need to get the fade with Bouvier versus Tiger Woods. The card would say Tiger Woods versus Tiger Hoods. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, y'all got the facts.
Right there.
Give him a fade.
Tiger.
Hey, let's put it in the universe. You saying what you don't receive, I received that.
Give him a fade, Tiger. Yo, stop playing.
Man, a conversation with that nigga be better than a fade, man.
I don't want to talk. I'm from Florida. You know, let me tell you something, CPR. Life skills, right? He didn't show good life skills, right? Because you know that one kid that you turned down when you little, he has a vendetta on you for the rest of the fucking life, bro.
But you know what though? What you could do though is use that energy and that opportunity to turn that into just by talking into a teachable moment for future people.
I'm signing everybody autograph.
All right. Life skills. Come on. You on this Gandhi shit right now, man. Get out of here with that shit.
I'm just trying to help my people, bro.
Thank you for the life skills moment.
Hey, well on that one right there, man. Meek Mill is screaming out right now that he needs some help with his Twitter fingers right now and saying the label has not given him any money right there. So he just recently tweeted out that that the label, he's in a bad contract right now, man. He's in a bad
contract. Hold up, wait a minute.
You know what I'm saying?
So he ain't say he was hacked yet?
Nope.
He deleted it.
He deleted it immediately. Yeah. He deleted it. So I'm going to bring it up real quick. But, yeah, he went on his Twitter rant. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I thought he was done with the Twitter rants and all that, but it seems like he's not. And he has come out with them saying that the label ain't been doing them right. You know what I'm saying? They ain't been doing them right. They've been jerking them. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't received any money from from his record label. I don't know who he's talking towards, if it's towards Rick Ross or his but I actually did hear something about this being a situation where he actually I'm not gonna claim that story. I don't know. My man came and told me about it earlier, so I don't know exactly the way it was. I can't remember exactly the way it was said because I'm a little, you know what I'm saying, you know. But what the tweet said that he put out was and I'm reading this verbatim. The way that he wrote it out. So he said, I haven't get paid for music, and I don't know how much money labels make off me. I need lawyers ASAP. That was the first tweet. The next tweet was, ask the record label, how much have you spent on me as an artist? Then you ask, how much have you made off me as an artist? I'm about to make a record deal public. Oh, damn. Shit just closed off. I'm about to make my record deal public by Monday, just to let the world see what these people on. This was his tweet that he put up. Was deleted immediately within
that. Hey, I need lawyers ASAP. Is wild. That is wild.
No, what was the wildest?
He was summoning lawyers. That's not.
I need lawyers ASAP.
What was wild was how you know he was mad. He said, I haven't get paid for music. He's mad. He was mad. Right.
So, when you have typos, you type.
Mm-hmm.
But now, on a serious note, though, I feel like, you know, most people don't understand how record deals work, man. This is like a teachable moment. If anybody listening to that don't know how a record deal work, like, if you sign a record deal, most deals you sign is the label is going to get whatever that percentage split is, and they're only going to recoup off of your percentage of any earnings. So if the deal is label 80%, you get 20%, then they're only recouping whatever the advance and budget was off of that 20%. They're taking the profit of the 80% and recouping off of your 20%. So, like, if he signs something like that and he's not aware of that, you know, that's unfortunate. You know, you should be aware of anything you sign. But when you sign an agreement, it worked out for you at that time. You agreed. You signed it. Nobody else made you sign nothing. So I just want to say that.
So who we feel is the blame in the situation, man? Like, how y'all feel about him coming out with that? Like, if you having money issues, whatever the case may be, you can't speak to the person directly. Like, what we think about that? Like,
I mean, I think that the whole thing was, you know, Meek was emotional. When you emotional, you say and do emotional shit. You know what I'm saying? Saying I need lawyers ASAP, I ain't get paid, all that bullshit. I mean, again, it's a lifestyle that you live in, bro. So it's a maturation process. If you're just now at this stage in your career recognizing mistakes that you made or recognizing what is business, then say it like that. You know what I'm saying? Because what's going to end up happening, and I'm glad he did, you know, delete the tweet, and it's not out there for everybody to still look at each and every day. But what's going to end up happening is if you go to court, you're not going to win nothing. There's nothing to gain. I mean, you're not going to get more money from a contract that you signed. So what you should have done is, before you dropped this last one, you should have figured out, okay, I got a project. I know I'm going to get some good stirs behind it and some controversy because I got this art as my cover art, and I got XYZ going for me, so I'm going to use this to kind of renegotiate and see what kind of terms I can get switched, or can I get this contract amended, or am I able to do whatever, you know. Instead of doing that, you drop the project, now you got nothing to move with, and you're sitting there making comments about, now you need lawyers. Nah, you just needed to have maturity. So hopefully what you can do is just wait until the next go-around and shoot his shot in the ring of trying to get some better negotiation for his next release. But doing it this way, he going to lose more money than he going to make. So it's not going to work in his favor either way.
I feel like... My bad. Go ahead, Dolly.
No, I was just going to say that he seems a bit frustrated. Did you guys watch his Complex interview?
No, I haven't seen it.
His demeanor during that interview is just, you can just tell he doesn't want to do the interview. He just seems like he's in like a certain state of mind right now. And I think that's why we're seeing like the sort of tweets he's putting out. I don't know what's like, obviously to your point, S-Class, like I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with him. But yeah, there's like a level of frustration I think is coming to surface right now based on his, I guess, his business dealings.
As far as if I don't hear something, I'm gonna release my contract by Monday thing. I feel like that is a tactic, you know, that's being used now. Just like I give an analogy, like players if y'all don't trade me, I'm not gonna re-sign or I ain't gonna play or whatever. It's just a tactic that the people is using now. I'll make my contract public because public perception is gonna be this is a bad deal. I'm in a slave deal or whatever when really you signed that deal, you know, and that hope is that public perception will, you know, of labels looking, situations looking bad will cause them to let them out of that deal. You know, I think that is a far, it's you know, this is my opinion. I think that's a far less physical and dramatic approach than, you know, someone like Cam did having niggas come up to the label and sit on niggas' desk and eat their lunch and shit, you know, every day until they let him out of his deal. But I still think it's bad business, you know, from a business practical sense. Like, to release, make public a contract that you agreed on in private is a bad, you know, business practice. But I feel like it is a tactic that is used to force somebody's hand or make you come to the table.
No, but I don't know if that tactic would work with Ross, but you know, I guess it's to be determined. I'm just not 100% sure it'll be effective because he's been griping about this for a while and it doesn't seem like anything has changed.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes though, because
I was trying to chill on this one. Cause I really fuck with Meek, man. And I'm really cheering for Meek, like, you know, all the bullshit that he was going through. You know, I hated to see him in certain situations he was getting in. But my loyalty, I guess, to Florida, maybe Rick Ross. Like, I hate to see when big movements and just fall apart for whatever reasons. Like, I wish certain things would be handled behind closed doors in certain situations. And like a lot of y'all been saying, like emotions and whatever the case. Like, I don't even know if it's even like, who's the beef with Ross, the label, like who is it even with? But when you out here putting certain shit out into the universe, you're a boss and you this. And then now to say that you ain't received no money. What I really think, you know what I'm saying? I think that he's getting more into his business, you know what I'm saying? Trying to see about expanding his portfolio, dealing with those billionaires that he's dealing with. They letting him know, hey, this is coming up short at right here, you know, because this ain't looking right, you know, and this paperwork, you know, maybe I don't know, because I'm on the outside looking in. And I don't want to go in so hard on Meek, you know what I'm saying, crazy shit. But I just hate what's going on. Like, anytime you coming out complaining about money, when I know it's people in a whole lot worse situations. Like, you came from nothing. You speak on how you building your grandma a house. how your mom had a food stamp card and now she got a black card. Like, you're on the up and up. And I believe how if you're looking at somebody else's plate and not paying attention to your own, like, you can't compare somebody else's life to your own, thinking like, oh, I'm supposed to be where this person at. I'm supposed to, like, most artists that's in the game that's at the top when it comes to that wealth, they money coming outside of that music shit. And I feel like you gotta have more than just music to really be up there in that list. So it's kind of difficult for artists to expect so much money when you got artists that's been in this game, and I mean legends that's in this game, over 30-some years in this game. And when it comes to their portfolio, the music is such a small percentage of their large, you know what I'm saying, their wealth. So hopefully Meek gets some other shit popping. And I don't know, man. It's just a difficult situation, yo.
He definitely need to diversify his portfolio. But here's the thing, right? Like, when you sign a agreement, like, you, nobody can make you do that. Like, just to use another analogy, like, if me and Trap, if I say Trap, you know, let's put $1,000 on the Cowboys, you know, against Minnesota, and give me 7-point spread right now. Like, I can't make Trap agree to give me 7 points. He might say, nah, I'll give you 5. And we might be like, I might be like, nah, give me 6. And he might be like, all right, I'll give you 6 or whatever. And then come game day, the game played out. And then he like, nah, I want to change the 4. And I'm like, bro, we had an agreement. Like, you know what I'm saying? You said you give me 6, like 6 points. That was our agreement. Now you're trying to change the agreement. After that, then you're going to try to use whatever leverage you can muster up to, like, force it. And what it seems like the leverage that's being used is, I'm going to make, and this is, you know, sounds like his words that I've heard quoted, is, I'm going to make my contract public, meaning I want my fans to think that I'm in a bad situation where they can cause momentum and energy online on his behalf. And that's a tactic to make somebody come back to the table and renegotiate. It is what it is.
Right. But I'm probably going to get slandered. I actually really like his album. So I'm in the minority with that, but I'll sit in the corner with that.
Hmm. Like, what's your favorite song off of it?
I like the song with Ferg. I think it's called Me.
That's that shit right there. That's the shit.
Yo, when that drops, I was
Can we give some acknowledgement to Lil Jon for the beat?
The Lil Jon down that south. Beat?
No, I'm just saying the down south. That was a flip. You know what I'm saying?
And respectfully, I don't remember. I think Trap, I heard you say something before, like, as far as what numbers he did in the first week. Wasn't it like 90-some thousand or something?
I want to say 95.
I thought it was 70, actually.
Respectfully, 70 to the 90 range first week in this day and age is not bad, respectfully. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not great if you're trying to put yourself on the Drakes or the Kendricks or the Cole level, but, you know, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Is it not different tiers of artists, though? Like,
Yeah.
You can't just catapult yourself to the top if you're not the top. You may feel like it lyrically, but a lot of other things going on makes an artist, like brands and just your likability. Like, let's not act like he hasn't had some rough patches with, you know what I'm saying? Like, I said this before, like, I'm turning into the old head because I feel like I miss old hip hop when, yo, you make one fuck up in this industry, nobody hears from you again. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now it's a lot of sense of entitlement where artists like, oh, y'all ain't fucking with me? Y'all ain't fucking with me? And then it's like, it's almost like begging for sympathy or something. Like, when the music ain't hitting, all that math ain't mathing.
Computers ain't putin'.
Man, that Mayweather money looking funny in the light. I think he might, I don't know. I don't even know who that was really directed towards. So, I know Russ got an album coming. I want to hear his side of this, too.
You know you're going to get it. Excuse me, I'm going to fix that up. Yes, his first week sales was 95,000. And And he was number 3 on the charts that week. I think he kind of, he might be salty for that one though too.
Yeah, that's not in this day and age. That's not bad. Like you made number 3 on not just hip hop charts. We talking all the charts, right? Yeah, that's not bad.
Number 3 in all the charts.
I mean, yeah, and the albums that came out within that week.
So number 3 behind YoungBoy.
Might have been behind YoungBoy. Let me see who he was behind.
Behind YoungBoy and Drake.
It was something like that. It was something like that, probably. All right. Well, we wish free the best young for...
boy. That boy home.
Yeah, boy home.
Well, it's technically he in Utah.
Yeah, but... he was in Utah. All right. So I got something else we're gonna bring on the table. So y'all heard about the Alec Baldwin situation? That was a wild situation right there.
That's dude. Crazy.
That reminded me of, you know what that reminded me of now that I think about it? That reminded me of that Brandon Lee shit.
Brandon Bruce Lee. Son.
Yep. When Brandon Lee got killed on the scene the same way. You know what I'm saying?
But back then, that was more believable, though. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In today's modern society, 2021, like, what is the purpose for a live actual gun on a movie set? Like, it ain't no testing. Like, I know you got stunt doubles and all this shit. Like, you ain't really checking for certain shit. Like, how does this happen, bro?
That's somebody's job, Bouvier. That's literally supposed to be like a firearm specialist. And something happened. Like, obviously, someone messed up. And it cost that woman her life and that other person that got injured. So,
y'all remember that one time when when Whitney Houston was pronounced dead and they did the whole party while she was still in the bathtub? Y'all remember
I've
that?
Never heard
say
of
again,
that.
Say it again one more time. What happened?
So it's a industry exec, you know, high up industry guy that have a party every year. When Whitney Houston died, she died, you know, in the bathtub or whatever, and it was at that in the hotel of that party, but they continued the party on while she was, you know, dead up there. Like,
never heard that.
Yeah, I mean, this is public information, by the way. You can look it up for yourself. That's crazy.
They kept partying as Whitney Houston was in the bathtub, overdosed and died, and dead. They kept partying?
Yeah.
I don't think she was in the bathtub in the party, though. Like, she was staying at the hotel. I don't, just to clarify.
Yeah, that's what
she was in her own room. She was in her own room. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, okay, I got you.
So, how does that relate to the story, though, CPR?
Life skills. That's it. Life skills.
Yeah.
So what we going with within that? So condolences to the family of the people who got killed in that situation. That was some wild shit right there. Like, it's really been, that was wild though. That was definitely
wild. And long live Whitney, man. One of the greatest singers of all time, if not the greatest.
R.P. Whitney Houston. She probably is the greatest to me. I think she was the best vocally to me, of women. I say that, of women.
I wonder how many J.D. records did for her, because for you to say that.
I'm saying for him
to say it, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just talking about what I heard.
You know how highly you think of Mariah and all that shit.
I mean, I would still put Whitney over Mariah, like vocally.
Mariah was ill though too. Though, like, back of her peak, Mariah was right there with Whitney though.
As far as like vocal range, Mariah can probably hit first soprano notes that Whitney couldn't hit. But like as far as like strength of like her voice and like and everything, Whitney was just powerful. Like, it was more powerful to me.
It was Mariah, Whitney, and Celine Dion.
That's a fact. Yep, that's a fact. So, now in other news right now, man, West Side Guns had just made the news with them saying that he's saying his smallest chain cost more than Mr. T's whole collection.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? That's how you feel right there. So he had a Twitter post where he posted up a Twitter picture of Mr. T with all his chains on. Looking like, you know what I mean? Looking like money right there. Got all the rope chains, the pieces on it and everything. And he tweeted the picture with it saying, "The difference between me and Mr. T, my smallest chain costs more than all his shit. Fly Guard, Boston Kids." and Twitter lit his ass the fuck up. They went crazy.
They did?
They went crazy on him, B. Hold on, I'm gonna read some of the comments. They went what, crazy.
What, I pity the fool or some shit? Man, what they hit him with? They too young. Twitter as well. Like, they be knowing shit they ain't supposed to know. Like,
so he responded back, he responded back with saying, I love Mr. T. I was literally just sitting here thinking how he was so dope for the culture, how he was able to jump into the wrestling world and be fly, get his own TV show, movies, action figures. He was a one-on-one. He responded back with that right there. You know what I'm saying? Because they was giving him some heat. I'm going to try to find some of these. So he said, yeah, they talking about him clarifying it. I'm going to click on the what's the name and see what they say. I'm going to click on the Twitter joint. But yeah, don't be mentioning Mr. T, man. Come on, man.
Word. Everybody love the A-Team. He hop out that van. Come on up.
That's a fact. So you got one comment that said, difference is all of it was real. And all of them, and all of it was given to him. And all of it was his. Whoa. He still has it. He still has all of it. He said, and he also said he was a movie star, a TV star, commercial star, with bed sheets, pajamas, lunch boxes, dolls, cereal, cartoons, WrestleMania albums. He's my dad too. That was his daughter responded to him.
Wow.
Word. His daughter responded to him. That was her comment right there. And there was a couple other people that said some things though too. Word.
Bro, I was about to. I'm sorry to sound ignorant. You know, we'll kill somebody. He's still living, right?
Yeah, Mr. T's still alive.
All right.
Mr. T's still alive. But yeah, man, Westside reached with that one, man. We're talking on Mr. T, man. Come on, man. That was a
boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Why he ain't come for Slick Rick, like though? I want to know why he ain't come for Slick Rick.
He better not come for Slick Rick. You crazy?
He didn't, yeah. Like, he's going to talk
Slick Rick on the album.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's why. I bet you he wanted to say Slick Rick, and he had to, like, think of somebody else. I bet you.
I'll never forget when they was doing the show. What was, I don't know if it was the Jay-Z movie or was the Beyonce movie, but they had Ghost, and Slick pulled up with the duffel bag for Ghost.
Facts.
And gave Ghost all the jewelry. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, go show him, B. Gave him all the jewelry. Word. That was fire.
Nah, was that Fade to Black?
It might have been Fade to Black, yeah. I know he came out during Beyonce set.
So it might have been. He had the big eagle on his arm and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was crazy.
So, the Squid Game creator responds to LeBron James criticizing season finale. Brings up Space Jam, new legacy.
No.
That's a fact. Yeah. So LeBron James, he ain't like that. I like the finale of Squid Games, though. Did y'all watch Squid Games?
I didn't watch it.
I'm not going to do the spoiler. I won't do the spoiler right now, but it's a good one. You should watch it, though.
I stuff like that way after the public, die down, because I don't want to be influencing of my own. I don't want my opinion of something to be influenced by popular, pop culture or whatever. Like,
so you don't like being prisoner of the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That was a better way to put it. Exactly.
So his other comment. So the other guy comment. So the guy comment was this first, and LeBron James responded to it. He said that's my ending. If he has his own ending, that would satisfy him. Maybe he can make his own sequel. I'll check it out and maybe send him a message saying, I like your whole show except the ending. And LeBron James commented back, this can't be real, right? I hope not. Crying face emojis. Yo, bro, you can't be saying that about people work, man. Come on, man. LeBron discusses their thoughts on Squid. Yeah, he did it during a press conference, too, after a game, too. He's crazy.
Yeah.
That's how big that Squid Game movie, that Squid Game show is, though, B.
Or maybe he got a check for that.
For saying that?
Yeah.
Squid Game is the most watched show on Netflix ever, B.
Ever.
More than Bird Box?
Ever.
Ever.
Yep. And that it happened that fast too.
Yeah, right, man.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I'm gonna, I gotta check it out, man.
Now that's dope though. You should watch. I watched. I just finished it like last week. They're coming out with Tiger King 2 too. They're coming out with part 2 of Tiger King. So I ain't really looking forward to that though. I think Tiger King might have been the most watched before that though.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, what you say?
I was gonna say, speaking of TV shows, did any of you watch Insecure?
Nope, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, audience of one. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I watched BMF though.
What's that? BMF? Yeah, I'm on BMF.
Yeah.
You want the BMF, Dolly?
No, I don't. I need a Stars login, yo. Who's the plug?
Somebody just text. No, you don't. Just text me and ask. Yes, I do. Tonight.
Allegedly, all you number. Need is Firestick. Allegedly.
I don't. Mine is not. You know. Adjusted.
Get I actually paid for Stars though, but I think I got it. I think I got my Stars on my Fire Stick, so I don't know if I actually got a login or anything like that. I think I'm logged in through my Amazon account, so I don't think it's the same thing there. Like as if I don't got a what's the name? I don't got a the cable thing. You know, I ain't had cable in a minute. I've been living off of internet cable. Yeah, so what I call it.
You want to pitch us before we get to BMF? You want to pitch us why we should check out Insecure coming out? Or, you know,
Insecure is dope, though. I just ain't
well, like this is the last season. You know, it's ending after 5 years. So if you have watched Insecure in the past and you want to see how it ends, you know, you should check it out. I mean, I will say that I haven't loved like the last two seasons, so I'm ready for the show to end. But I'm curious to see how they're going to end it based on like where they've been taking the plot. It's time for the show to end, you know, like I think that they're all ready to move on and do other things and, you know, seek other ventures.
What we all need to do now, we need to watch before the next episode. We should all watch Insecure, and that'll be the segment right there. That we dedicate completely to Dolly right there. You know what I'm saying? So she can break it down.
I'm going to be with her. I ain't going to watch that by myself.
Nah, Insecure is dope. Insecure is dope, though.
I got to watch all four seasons. I haven't seen one episode.
Oh, nah? Really? You got to watch Insecure. Insecure is fire, B.
Wow.
Yeah. Support black directors and writers, man. Come on, man.
Holy black cast.
Word.
Except there's a couple of anomalies every now and then, but yeah.
Don't make me out to be not all skin folk, ain't your kin folk. Like, I support it, you know what I'm saying? I'm like CPR. Like, I catch stuff when the wave is over.
Ah, man, they gave my
wave. The wave of Insecure is kind of like coming to an end. Like, you know, people didn't even know it came back on Sunday. There's so many people that were just like, oh, it's back. Like, it never used to be like that. You used to know when Insecure was coming back. People had watch parties and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's coming to what that.
You know what? Maybe turn me off from the show. Maybe it could be the name. Like, I don't want to be Insecure.
Nah, man, so, it's deeper than that. You gotta watch it, man. It's dope.
That could be it.
Nah, it's dope. It's a dope show.
I'm being vulnerable here. You know what I'm saying? I don't like insecurity, so I don't. You know, like
that's a good
life
one.
Skills.
That's a good
like,
one.
like life skills say I don't receive that. For Dolly's sake, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
Please. At least one episode and see if you get it.
Nah, that's dope. You watch one episode, especially start from the beginning, you're going to definitely watch the whole thing, man. And that's kind of even dope to start it like that. You haven't watched none of it, though. Then you can just sit down and run through it all like that. You know what I'm saying? Pause. But it's dope, though.
So it's on HBO?
Yeah, it's on HBO.
Yep.
Came back out this weekend, too. I know that right there. I ain't watched none of the new shows, though, really.
You said Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah, that came out. That's my show. I watched that show, too, Larry David.
Can I give a quick sponsor plug to my region real quick? No unsponsored plugs? All right, that's
Yeah, what you talking about? Yeah, bro.
I'm going to Waffle House in the near future. So... just want to
say Waffle House.
Yeah, shout out to Waffle House.
One, I'm gonna fill my cup up on CPR on that one.
I'm about to take a drink.
Fill me up.
Yeah, I'm about to.
Waffle House, what you ordering?
I usually get the grilled chicken breakfast.
Oh, So you're not an all. I see you yeah. still a rookie. You're not an all star type of guy.
I don't eat pork, bro.
What you get, the potato fried with the fucking cheese on it and shit. Like
the hash browns. You gotta get the hash browns with the chopped ham on top of it cheese.
Oh, no. I don't eat that pork.
Man, look, man.
Stop a lot.
Then I'm getting the side of the country ham.
Yo, you gotta relax.
Then I'm getting the bacon, and then I'm getting the pecan waffle. Yeah.
That's what you're doing too, S-Class? That's what you want right there, S-Class? That's what you're doing in Waffle House? We don't got the blessings of having Waffle House in New York.
Yeah, I've never been there. I only know about IHOP.
You ain't missing nothing.
Missing everything. I'm so sorry.
IHOP.
Niggas got crackheads behind the counter cooking all the food.
Yeah, that's fine.
If your Waffle House cook ain't missing all they teeth and smoking a cigarette when you pull up, don't eat there. All right?
That's a fact.
Their teeth got to be missing.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Waffle House, that's a whole fact though. Yo. That shit.
But they cook it in front of you, Dolly. So you can see them cooking.
Man, that shit so hood. I don't even want them to wash their hands after they smoke their cigarette.
They don't.
Just put the gloves straight on.
That shit is filth, flam, filth. That's what you call
it. It is. If it's a clean Waffle House, I don't even want to eat there. I ain't gonna.
I need to smell the bathroom when I get in there too.
What?
Yeah. Nah. Waffle House is sitting after the club though. After the club, a long night. You know what I'm saying? You want to get something to eat. I remember when I went to the one in Hampton, the last one I went to.
Too many options, man. Late night, man. I'll wake up, eat Waffle House, go to sleep, eat Waffle House. It's busted.
Yeah. All right. So we got one more. I got one more thing to get to too though, man, before we call it. You know what I'm saying? I just want to talk about the tunes, man. What attracts you to the music more when you listen to music? You know what I'm saying? Would you say more so the lyrics or the beat? You know what I'm saying? Like what you looking into when you listen to music? What you looking into? Like what can guide you to like a song like that?
Who wanna jump in first?
I mean, I'll go ahead and jump in. For me, it has changed over the years. It used to be the lyrics more so, to be honest. I used to be more in tune, like, you know what I'm saying, metaphors, double entendres, all that stuff. Like, but now it's like the beat, like, I don't know if it's because I'm, you know, producing more or what, but it's like if you got a hard track and, you know what I'm saying, you're saying something that I can relate to or I can rock with, and I don't care like how lyrical you is or if you got the best lyrics. So it used to be for me the lyrics, you know, subject matter, songs, writing, all of that stuff. But now it's just like the track more.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Dolly?
Yeah, I would say that. I agree with that. It's definitely changed over time just because lyrical content is so few and far between. And you know for sure who's, you know, delivering lyrical and metaphors and similes and all that. So now these days I'm more listening for the beat first. I think lyrics are still important, but yeah, definitely checking for the beat.
So, like, I guess, like y'all saying, I'm along the same lines. It came a certain point of time when I was trying to make music on my own. I stopped listening to everybody else. But now, I want to say I have selected ears. Like, I'm going back and questioning all the classics that I thought was once classics. I'm really like doubting my ears like right now. Like, what was I really listening to and how does it sound right now? How much of it was truthful? How much was it authentic? Because we're looking at everything hindsight now. So now the music that's coming out now, I'm so selective with what I hear. And if it don't hit me, like I feel it, like, oh, that's real. Like, I experienced that, or I know somebody that experienced that, or he really talking about what he talking that could actually happen. Like, I don't know, man. It's different. I'm selective because the people that I like, I hear y'all say, oh, that's boring, man. That ain't that. And so it's difficult, man. But beats, I love vibes right now. I just say vibes and the how authentic is the record? How authentic is the artist? Like, I need the whole package. What's your message? What are you delivering to the people? And I need everything to align. Visuals, everything. Like,
yeah. I got you.
I think I remember, like, I'm thinking back, like, when that transition might have happened, like, mentally for me. And I remember, like, y'all remember that Trinidad James gold all on my watch?
Yeah. That was that jam.
That beat was crazy. Like, that was my shit. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna lie. That was my shit. I used to rock that joint. I looked up that sample the other day.
I literally looked up that sample the other day. That was crazy. Where it came from? D12 Fight Music.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't know that. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
So I'm gonna say basically, like, I look at it like this, right?
Beats.
So I look at it as being three things when it comes to a song right there. So you got the lyrics, you got the beat, and you got the flow. You know what I'm saying?
So in that order?
Not in the order. Just three things that come up with the song. Yeah, collective right there. So I feel as if a beat could definitely carry along a song. You know what I'm saying? And, like, a person ain't really got to be saying a goddamn thing. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But they could, but if they flow, they're going to have to flow on the shit, though. You know what I'm saying? They can't just come out there just saying some bullshit. But a beat could definitely carry along a song. So I'm definitely, me, myself, you know I'm listening. I'm checking for the beat first. You know what I'm saying? If a person is just flowing on it, I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with that. You ain't really got to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could deal with it a little bit. It's not going to be something I'm going to be sitting there trying to dissect and, like, really, this is going to be something that's going to be playing in the background. You know what I'm saying? Because the music just playing in the background like that. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like to make a good song, for me to be interested in the song, you got to have at least two of those things right there. You know what I'm saying? But it's definitely, definitely on the beat, though. I'm definitely going with the beat, though, first. You know what I'm saying? But if it got a bad beat, I might not want to listen to that shit.
You got to have beat and flow, or either beat and bars, is what you're saying.
Yep. Okay. You gotta have two of those three right there.
And when you have all three, it's a fucking masterpiece.
That's a fact. And shout out to my man Fatty and Myra just joining us right now, you know what I'm saying? So what y'all going with?
I'm not gonna hold you. I had y'all on low volume, so I didn't even hear the question.
Alright, so the question right now is when you listen to a song, What attracts you to a song first? You know what I'm saying, like, what immediately do you gain interest in, like, or what do you need to hear in the song to capture your interest? What immediately captures your interest in a song?
Specifically between lyrics and
yeah, lyrics or the beat,
the track.
For me, it's the opening line.
So it's the lyrics. So it's the lyrics then. All right, Myra, what you going with? Okay. Donald, what you going with? Donald, shout out to my man Donald just joining us right now, too. Donald, what you going with?
Oh, yeah, appreciate you for having me, too, man. Lovely episode so far. First of all, it got to be the feel and the energy first. And then I got to say the lyrics and the beat, because you can have good lyrics, but if you don't have the energy nor the soul behind it, that's where it's just going to stop at for me. So it got to be somewhat to feel the energy, then the lyrics and the beats for me first. And basically, and also the concept you're trying to give me while you're rapping on the song. What you, from the point you're trying to get across. And I land on that.
Gotcha, gotcha. Trav, what up, Trav? Trav joining us too, man. What you going with, Trav?
What's good? I'm going to have to say vocals more so than necessarily like what you think of as traditional lyricism, but excuse me, definitely more so than the beat. The first thing that's got to grab me is going to be the vocals. Like the way they, I guess, the way they come through, it could be through the lyricism. It could be through the way they come through on the beat, but definitely vocals.
So you're going with flow. You're going with the flow of the lyrics right there.
Yeah, basically. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. I got you.
So we be having conversations about music a lot. I feel like everybody be tough critics. You know, everybody likes what they like. So when we getting ready to end it, you know what I'm saying? I want y'all to check out a record, and then maybe we could break it down. What y'all think about it?
It is. What is it? What record?
My dog Bobby just dropped one with Mozzie, man, and Spill Ink.
Drop it.
Own Eyes, and I want to see what y'all think about it.
All right, we going to drop it.
Oh. You know how I feel about Mozzie.
You rock with Mozzie?
Come on, bro. Strong home team.
I've been rocking with Mozzie for the longest. My favorite album by him is Gangland.
I've been waiting on this record for over a year, and it just dropped not too long ago, maybe a week or so ago. So I want to hear what y'all think about it.
No problem. I'll definitely give you that. Let me get to it real quick. Excuse me with that. The mouse is acting up. You said Mozzie.
Nah, it's Bobby's song. Bobby Fish.
I know it's Bobby's song. I'll put Mozzie up in there, though, too. Get it right on up.
All right.
It got Ink on it. Is it On Eyes?
Yeah, that's
go.
It.
All right, here we go. Let's get it. Oh, man, I'll mute that right there. Hey,
fuck shit.
Grandma, when I'm big, I'm gonna come stay with you, Grandma.
What the hell is that?
That's that Kodak playing.
Yeah.
Kodak still playing in the background? Oh, I don't read it. That's why I'm gonna close that up.
My son said when he big.
Shout out Kodak.
Shout out Yak, man.
I had to read it. That's all. Okay. Let's get it.
Who made it? Who made it? I had to see it with my own eyes. I had to lay down for a long time. Stab in the phone line. I call home, your only baby crying. I had to see it with my own eyes. I had to lay down for a long time. Stab in the phone line. I call home, your only baby crying.
Seen it with my own eyes. Change up on you every time. You was supposed to be right here by my side. If I had $10, then you know you had five. We done had to split a mid double and a small fry. Worst feeling, call home and you hear your baby crying. I done called the bitch, she supposed to press 5, she pressed 9. What you know about your mama visitation getting denied? Say she had a bad check, charged back in 95.
I had to see you with my own eyes. I had to lay down for
smelling like nicotine, I remember that clearly. I remember that super room when you hit the brakes, you can hear him. I'm congregating with the headhunters, it's the reason why these feel me. Had to see the hate with my own eyes from a that I love dearly, and that be killing me slow. But ain't like he ain't did it before. Get money, put on the road. Risk taking, finna triple the load. Hell yeah, do a million or more. Mom and them know that we was just broke, we up now. All these on the floor, big dog with legitimate dough.
I had to see it with my own eyes. I had to lay down for a long time. Stab in the phone line. I call home, your only baby crying. I had to see it with my own eyes. I had to lay down for a long time. Stab in the phone line.
was tough. That was tough.
I like it. I like it.
Well, Miko, what up, Miko?
Was good. I just left the lab.
Oh yeah,
I'm saying, I'm chilling. How y'all feeling, man?
No, you're chilling, man. We're wrapping up this episode right now, man. ADHD podcast episode. We're wrapping it up. We just dropped the Bobby Fitzgerald and Mozzie new joint, but we're gonna take it out with you right now, man. So I mean, I know you just left the studio right now, dropping, laying some heat down, but I need to know from a listener's point of view right now. You know what I'm saying? What attracts, you know what I'm saying, what grabs your interest first when it comes to a song? Would it be the beats or the lyrics?
Damn, bro, that's tough for me, because the lyrics are so, like, that shit is so crucial as well, but the production got to be on point. The production will immediately grab you, but if, like, I done heard dope beats and then a rapper don't say shit, and then I've never listened to that song again, so... It probably is the lyrics for me, like, you know what I'm saying, more than anything. It's probably more the subject matter. Even if it's some bullshit, as long as, like, you know what I'm saying, the concept is dope, I feel like that shit will make me want to listen to the record more or appreciate the record more. I like dark shit, you know what I'm saying? I like that dark shit. I like motherfucking those dark synths, pianos, you know what I'm saying? I love the keys, I love the bass guitar, like, that's just me, you know what I'm saying? So when I hear that shit, them strings and shit, certain sounds, them natural instruments, that shit pulls me to a record. So, yeah. Production is everything, bro, but it's like a balance. Nah. It got to be a good balance of both, for real, for real.
Yeah, I call that moody music. Like, I like to hear a beat that's, like, moody and dark. So, yeah, I fuck with it.
All right, yeah, some shit is just, yeah.
That's a fact. Well, man, Miko came up in here, you know what I'm saying? Soon, I'm saying, future legend right there. And I'm saying, Miko, y'all make sure y'all check out for him. Know what I'm saying, he got a lot of shit cooking up right now. You know what I mean? And I'm definitely sending him some heat tonight. I'm telling you, this joint I made today, though, too. That's a fact, though.
I just gotta track
it out, though. Real spitter right there. You heard? So as soon as I track that out, I'm sending that to go to you in like 15 minutes. But we out of here, though, man. ADHD, we out. This ADHD podcast episode 3. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you pass it to a friend and tell a friend to tell a friend. You know what I mean? This shit is going and we out of here.